Kamala Harris has compared today, January 6th, or I should say the anniversary of the Capitol riots, to Pearl Harbor and September 11th. And Siraj, where are you at? You know, if we ever needed the list, we need it now. Well, actually, no, she wasn't on her phone when she posted it. She was actually speaking on TV. But the tweets went out from all the news organizations of her saying it. And if anybody deserves to not be speaking publicly for a little while, it would be her after that statement. You need only look at the pictures of Pearl Harbor 9/11 and January 6th to know that they've lost the plot. They've absolutely lost it. But I tell you, you know, I don't know if they actually believe their own, you know, their own BS, if they're ingesting their own refuse. But I do think at least some of them, many of them, at least the people on the ground, the grassroots of the Democrat voter base, they really believe this stuff. Many of them are just tribalists and they're angry and they want to hate, but a lot of people genuinely believe that January 6th was as bad as 9/11. The funny thing, though, is that Trump's approval versus Biden's approval right now, if there was an election held today, Trump would win, which means more Americans probably don't believe that narrative, or if the narrative is believed, they prefer insurrection and a military coup over Joe Biden. So how about we just settle for, yeah, no one believes it. I mean, some people do, but most people don't, and you're full of it. This is where we're headed. Politico has actually published an article saying we are in a new civil war. Oh, you got me to say it. Everybody take a drink. Tim Pool said civil war. Here we go. But when mainstream publications have gone from are we in it to we are in it, we should start asking what that means for us, what it means for you, and is there a way to bring everybody together? I don't know. I really don't. We've got to talk about Australia. They've, in the Northern Territories, if you're unvaxxed, you can't leave your home unless you're getting food or medical treatment or providing medical treatment. So it means you can't leave your home for work anymore. It's getting more and more severe. And they have detained the number one tennis player over highly dubious reasons, saying that his medical exemption, they're rejecting it after letting him come. Then now he's in a refugee detention center. This looks like a power flex. So we'll get into all that stuff. Joining us today, Brandon Tatum. How's it going, man?
What's up? How you doing?
Pretty good. You want to introduce yourself for those that don't know you?
Oh, yeah. Brandon Tatum, former police officer. I have a YouTube channel called The Officer Tatum. 1.7 million subscribers on that YouTube channel.
Way bigger than us.
Y'all are more powerful than me. I'm trying to get on your level, man. Wow. But so I go around the country. I speak. I do motivational speaking. I do political commentary. So I do a lot of stuff like that.
Right on, man. Thanks for coming. This will be a blast.
My pleasure.
Before we begin, I definitely want to shout out Habibi Siraj. He's been working extremely hard today. It's like it's a Super Bowl, so his Twitter account is absolutely on fire today. And also, a couple days ago on this show, I had this idea about an alien psyop saying that in 2024, I'm going to vote for Beep Borp. What is it?
Beep Borp.
Beep Borp. Yes. So the Beep Borp 2024 election shirt is coming in, and it has just come in, and it also has the tagline saying, bring on the next alien psyop already. And if you want to support Beep Borp in 2024, you can by going to thebestpoliticalshirts.com. And support this future candidate.
I love how it actually says Beep Borp on your shirt, and you forgot the name of the alien you made up.
It happens sometimes. You know, you're in this creative flow. We have no scripts here. So, Beep Borp 2024, that's who I'm voting for. Thanks for having me. This should be a great conversation.
You need, like, an Alex Jones reference because, you know, he went on his show, and he was screaming that an alien intelligence has taken over and is controlling all of this.
An AI system, probably, which he was referring to, which we also talked about, which he could not be wrong here. That's also another issue, which is worth considering.
Decentralized
this is something
mind.
That Ian gets into a lot, too, geez. Especially when it comes to quantum physics and energy and entities. Go on, Ian. Take it from here.
I think for sure there's a concerted effort to put people's collective mind state on a blockchain and create like a mega mind that's going to be
the hive mind.
I think tracked is the idea, but maybe we could build one that's untracked and use that as like the good guy's tech. Hey, I did a little bit of research. 2,400 people died at Pearl Harbor when the Japanese Empire bombed it. Almost 3,000 people died on 9/11 when the three buildings came down. And how many people died a year ago on January 6th?
Yes, but I think a couple of them one was like someone fell. So one person had a heart attack.
How many bombs were dropped a year ago?
And one Trump supporter was killed by a police officer.
Yes. So
someone made a meme. Hmm. Where it was like, you know, Wikipedia, they'll do a war and it'll say like outcome, like factions, casualties. And they made one for January 6th where it was like unarmed Trump supporters with flags, casualties, one Trump side. Like there was no one lost their lives.
Yeah, they should do like a Baz Battles where they do those animated battle scenes of it where it shows like the people coming up and the flanking and all the.
It's all
nothing happened. That's good. We'll need you to bring up those numbers again when we get into it. So we also got Lydia hanging out.
I'm here in the corner pushing buttons as I do. I'm delighted to be back. Love having Brandon on. It's going to be a great conversation.
Before we get started, everybody, head over to TimCast.com, become a member, and help support our work. As a member, you are funding our team of journalists. We have, I think we might have around 10, I'm not entirely sure, but we do have, I think, 32 employees now. We're doing a ton of stuff. We're expanding. We're producing, you know, cultural shows, mystery investigative shows, and we are hiring more and more journalists. We actually have field reporters on the ground covering protests. And as a member, you get access to the exclusive TimCast IRL members only podcast, which go up Monday through Thursday at 11 p.m. Last night, we had Marjorie Taylor Greene, and that was, I gotta be honest, it was so much better than the YouTube show. So much better. And we asked them, and I think it'll happen, to do an extended podcast exclusive off YouTube, uncensored, bigger conversation, because it was great. And, you know, YouTube kind of sucks for the insane rules they have. And if we want to have those real conversations, we got to figure out other means of distribution. So that's what we're doing. You can check that out at TimCast.com. Don't forget to smash the like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. Let's talk about what's going on today. We have this story from TimCast.com. Kamala Harris compares January 6th Capitol riot to September 11th and Pearl Harbor. Quote, certain dates echo throughout history, Harris said, including dates that instantly remind all who have lived them where they were and what they were doing when our democracy came under assault. Dates that occupy not only a place in our calendar, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941, September 11th, 2001, and January 6th, 2021. Wow.
She is the dumbest person on planet Earth. This is what happened when you sleep your way to the top and you don't have merit behind your name or you don't have a legitimate reputation. There's nobody on planet Earth with any sense that would compare January 6th to Pearl Harbor or 9/11. I mean, because, you know, we're in a generation that we lived through 9/11 and it was mortifying, man. People were getting killed, jumping out of buildings. It was literally an attack on our
building 7, then right. Just fell down.
Yeah.
What was it like 10 hours later?
Right.
It was let me just tell you, but it did. Yeah. I'm not saying anything about why it did. I'm just saying 9/11 was so crazy. I thought about this when she said this. I was like, I'm sitting there. I know everyone's laughing. Everyone's mocking her, saying it was a stupid thing to say. And then I actually just was thinking back to like what happened on 9/11. And I'm like, four planes are hijacked. One of them crashes in the field. Let's roll. You know, they slam into these buildings. There's shrapnel and debris flying everywhere. The buildings collapse. The Pentagon gets hit. First responders rush in there, and firefighters are dying. The EPA was right. It said the air was safe.
Yep, they said it was safe to breathe. Go back to work. There's no problems down here.
And then now people have what do they call it? They call it 9/11 lung or something like that.
Well, they have mesothelioma. They have there's a bunch of asbestos.
There's a word they associate with the people who are down there doing the rescue missions had for decades lung problems from the air they were breathing.
COPD. Yeah,
and then
I was there in the early days when they didn't have the guidelines. Anyone could walk in there and breathe it.
But not only did these buildings then collapse, but 9/11 was so bad that I think it was around, 10 hours later, another building, World Trade Center 7, just falls straight down. Yeah. That's how crazy. Three buildings fell that day. And Kamala Harris is like, they broke windows. Yeah. And waved American
and those three buildings all had insurance policies on them by Larry Silverstein, but that's another subject. I blame Mayor Willie Brown for all of this.
Yes.
For a number of reasons, but also he's connected to 9/11, which I wanted to quickly talk about since he was also officially warned. He had a flight on 9/11, but he said someone gave him a warning and he canceled his flight on the morning of 9/11.
He said that.
So Mayor Willie Brown, look that up. The mayor of San Francisco, I think it was the San Francisco Chronicle that reported on this, but he had a flight on that day, didn't take it, and he's also the one that helped Kamala Harris get her start in politics.
Willie Brown.
Well, look at this. This is from the San Francisco Gate. Willie Brown got low-key early warning about air travel. This is from September 12th, 2001. This is NewsGuard certified.
Exactly.
Look at this. SF. Yeah. SF.
I don't make up facts, Tim. I got my sources. I got my documents. I got all my papers and my notes right here.
Brandon.
I don't play around.
A couple weeks ago, Luke is doing one of his signature rants, and he mentions Bill Gates with his birth control microchips. And then I'm just like, Luke, no, stop. And Luke's like, it's real. Look, I Google it right here, and Bill Gates funded birth control microchips. It's a real thing.
This is the new Alex Jones right here.
I don't know about that. There's a lot of stuff I have to stop myself from saying.
All right. Well, hold on. I want to bring this up. SFGate has got a 100 out of 100 on NewsGuard, and they reported September 12th, 2001, Willie Brown got a low-key early warning about air travel. Quote, it was not an abnormal call. I'm always concerned if my flight is going to be on time, and they always alert me when I ought to be careful. Exactly where the call came from is a bit of a mystery. The mayor would say only that it came from my security people at the airport. It's interesting. I wonder...
Telling them not to fly on 9/11. That's a big deal right there. Yeah. That's a person also connected to Kamala Harris. But I've heard recently that Kamala Harris and Mayor Willie Brown are not on talking. What's the phrase
speaking
here?
Terms.
They're not on speaking terms. But obviously Kamala Harris has risen to power, and she's using it to spread fear and to divide and conquer this nation in so many disingenuous ways. It's absolutely horrifying to see this kind of comparison made to some of the most tragic life loss that happened domestically in the United States. It's disgusting.
I want to do the opposite of what, you know, the Democrat establishment and the media do. And actually, Lydia messaged me saying Freedom Day.
Yes.
And I was like, it's a good idea. So here's what I tweeted. Never forget, January 6th, also known as Freedom Day, will forever be the day we remember the 100-day siege on the U.S. From the White House to federal courthouses to small-town America, dozens lost their lives to the Democrat-supported carnage. This was the George Floyd riots. The White House was besieged. Yeah. They set a guard building on fire. They set the church on fire. Mm-hmm. It was one of the most intense assaults on the White House we've seen since 1812. Yossi Gestetner with that tweet. He says, way worse than what happened on January 6th. We had small town America ransacked, buildings smashed up. We need to talk about that. Yeah. We need to talk about, they were not only in DC over the summer. They were all over the country. Mm-hmm. So one of the issues I have with the culture war is that the right component, whatever you want to call it, just follows the lead in the news cycle of the New York Times and CNN.
Quick side note here. Today is also the National Bean Day, according to Google. But also, Kamala Harris, when those larger protests were going on, she was bailing people out that were committing crimes against innocent civilians. There was dozens of people that were killed during these riots, and we can't talk about it. Sorry, I'm talking too much.
No, I agree with you 1,000%. This is out of control that we're in this position in our country where we just completely avoid the fact that people were burning down buildings and killing people and terrorizing. It is the definition of domestic terrorism is what BLM people that represent BLM or claim to represent BLM were doing throughout the entire summer over nothing. At least I could say people that may have an argument on January 6th, they have a certain argument that they have about the election. They thought that they were going to stop a faulty election from going through. I'm not saying I take that position necessarily, but that's what they were attempting to do. BLM, a black man gets shot justifiably by police. Breonna Taylor she wasn't sleeping in the bed. They completely create these entire lies and burn down communities. Hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars worth of damage. People were dying, getting hurt.
I think
afraid.
It was over $2 billion.
Around the country, it could probably easily been over $2 billion. And none of these things get replaced. People can't, the livelihood did not come back. Some people have been killed. Their lives are not going to be replaced. And people are arguing about individuals who went into the Capitol building. Some of them were let in. Some of them were taking selfies. I just saw a video that was posted. I think I shared it on one of my social media platforms of the guy that had the horns or whatever. Yeah. He's going in there. It's like three dudes in there. The police is asking, hey, is everybody okay? They're just chilling. You know, you talking about Pearl Harbor? You must be smoking crack to think that is comparable. What a disrespect to the men and women who served this country, the men and women who were fighting on September 11th that have had residual effects that have happened. People have died, skin blown off. I mean, the images that we saw, people jumping out of buildings and hitting the ground from 100 stories high. And you're talking about the Capitol building that didn't last long enough that they finished the vote the same day.
Yeah. It took like 3 hours for this whole thing to go through. And then they were fixing the whole thing. They went through and they got done with the election and they finalized it and everything. And I was posting those images from Kamala Harris supporting the Minneapolis Freedom Fund, talking about how they set free this guy who had committed egregious acts against a child, and all these sources that had gone through and fact-checked it, and they couldn't even say it was false. They were like, well, this needs context, you know, well, this isn't the full story, but yeah, no, her Freedom Fund set a bunch of people, a bunch of criminals free. Who
like child predators.
Free,
huh? Like one guy apparently was like a reportedly a child predator.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That yeah. guy, yeah.
And but Republicans are so weak, though.
Mm. Yep.
Ted Cruz is a weenie. Mm-hmm. All these people are so soft, man. I mean, how can you go home and kiss your wife and act like you're the man of the house right. when you're such a weenie, man?
He may have resigned when he said that was a terrorist attack.
Yeah, I mean, what was he? Who's he going to win? Yeah,
he's an establishment brown noser, and he always was an establishment brown noser from the very beginning. And he's trying to placate the middle. Allegedly, this is the kind of we actually talked to someone who was around his circles recently, and when he was responding to this, he's trying to show the Republicans that he's going to be the opposite of Trump. He's going to be the moderate, considerate Republican. But it's absolutely ridiculous because of just how brown and gooey and nasty. Nasty his nose is with all the butt kissing he's doing to the establishment. It's
what world,
nasty.
What world is he living in?
I don't know.
People love Trump. I mean, I was just last night, there was this rapper named Kevin Gates. He's a gangster rapper, well-known dude in the rap industry. I just so happened, because I follow him, I just so happened to see him on live, and he's talking about Trump and saying, oh, Trump was cold. I mean, we need Trump back in office. I mean, and there was a bunch of other dudes on there from the hood, from the community with mad respect. And they all agreed that Trump was one of the best things that ever happened to our country, at least during their lifetime. You got to be crazy to think that somehow they're going to leave Donald Trump, who was the answer to the prayers of many people of having a person in office that's not a politician, somebody who's an outsider, somebody who's going to stand up for America. You think you're going to somehow swindle your way into that?
It's not I got happening. It. He's trying to get that job on The View.
Oh.
No, check it out.
He would be great for it.
The View can't find a female conservative because they've stated they want someone who's popular among the right, but who doesn't believe Trump won the election. And you basically can't get it. I think it's 71% in the latest poll of Republicans believe Trump won.
Huh.
And so they want someone. So Ted Cruz comes out and he calls it a terror attack. It's not even necessarily about Trump. If you're someone who pays attention to the news, like you actually read and investigate, you know it wasn't a terror attack.
Right.
It was in one area, the tunnel, a riot, and on the sides, people walked in confused. Yeah. The MAGA meemaw, as they call them, just right. bumbling around.
Yeah.
That Norm MacDonald tweet, the violent, you know, insurrectionists respected the velvet ropes.
Velvet ropes, yeah.
Just walking in like idiots, yeah. like they had no idea what was going on. So when you see that, you're like, yeah, that was not terror. And you see on Reddit, they have that photo of that officer, the Capitol officer, who like baited them and led them away. And I'm like, those guys, like, it wasn't one group of people who planned to do anything. And the FBI's even said that. So to come out and for Ted Cruz to say, terrorist attack, he's trying to convince Democrats who hate him to vote for him? That's the crazy thing.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, what is his angle? Who is telling him to do this? It's the dumbest thing in the world. Democrats hate you. You're a racist, sexist, homophobic, whatever they can name you. That's what you are to Democrats and people on the left. And then everybody else, well, I say everybody else, there's a small group of people in the middle, but the people in the middle aren't stupid enough to watch you go out and project theater as a politician and think that you're genuine.
Well,
people can see through Ted Cruz.
I don't think there's a center anymore. I mean, there technically is. I think this show is fairly moderate. Some people have described it as like centrists, right-leaning a little bit. And maybe it's because of the other influences of the people on the show. But we're not the, you know, hardcore MAGA hat wearing. We're not, you know, conservative ink suit wearing like TPUSA or anything like that. We're an eclectic bunch. I don't even know what Ian is.
It's in motion. You know, it's not static. Whether it's on the right or on the left, we're constantly swirling around the center and getting a little bit from both sides.
Maybe that's you in your conscious
space.
I don't like any of these politicians. I think they're all sellouts. I think they're all working for the special interest, and I think they'll take any opportunity they can to skin you alive.
Do you think Trump is a part of that?
Absolutely, 100%, especially with his endorsement of Big Pharma, especially with him sitting down with Henry Kissinger during the start of his presidency. As soon as I seen that, I said, okay, that's game over.
Yeah.
As soon as he's congratulating and saying how great he is, that had everyone's eyebrows up. When he was talking about auditing the Federal Reserve, investigating 9/11, releasing the JFK CIA files, he did none of that.
I agree.
Trump?
I think this is more Trump got into the office and they pulled him, they pulled him away. Trump is undoubtedly an outsider. And so there were things I think he was trying to get done. I do not believe he's part of the swamp. I think he's his own kind of different
swamp monster.
Maybe
that's how I see it myself.
He got in, like, I've been watching, Oliver Stone just released a Kennedy documentary about the assassination. And I was just watching another one last week. Like, I think he got in and realized, okay, there's really a moving organism here that if I disrupt too much, it will reject me as part of the system. Like, if you put a little piece of metal under your skin.
I don't think he's a part of some cabal or something crazy like that. I really do think that he did the best he could with what he had. But I do think he's in a position where, you know, people expect him to be perfect. And he's not perfect, you know, and this, I'm going to call him out when it's time to call him out. But I do think because of his history and what he's lived through, even a generational gap between us and him, is that some of these things he actually believe are true and necessary. Yeah. Like when he came out on Candace Owens' show and he said all of the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. I think he actually mean that. The guys that I smoke with in the cigar lounge that are his age or around his age, they all see the world the same way that he does.
I think Trump was an avatar of the anger of, the American working class populists who are sick of the system. And as Michael Moore put it, Trump was that human Molotov cocktail. But Trump was, imperfect. He's the imperfect avatar. He was just that embodiment of anger for a lot of people. He did things they liked. You're never going to get someone perfect, I guess.
He overpromised and he compromised a lot, but he did try to at least enter some kind of conversations into the dialogue that did make him look like a bull in a china shop. And he did have the corporate media scared. He did have the establishment scared somewhat. But I think he also was trying to be liked by them at the same time, and his ego got in the way. And from my perspective, there was a lot of possibilities there, and I think he failed on a lot of those possibilities. But again, I don't want to be one of those crazy leftist lunatics that has Trump derangement syndromes. When he did something good, I always complimented him and gave him respect and props for standing up for certain issues and making the debates and arguments that everyone was afraid to make. So you know, let's be honest, anyone who's in power deserves to be criticized no matter what, and we shouldn't always worship celebrities because when we do, bad things happen.
Well, I agree, and the reason I brought up like the kind of the whatever space this show occupies is that If we are, you know, if Luke is on this show and looks like we got to criticize all of these people, we're certainly not the ardent Trump can do no wrong crowd. And if we look at what Ted Cruz said, like he's a lunatic, then I don't know who he's going after. Cause, you know, I've seen these tweets where they're like, where's the middle ground between the January 6th was an insurrection and January 6th was no big deal. And it's like, we talk about it all the time. And so do most of our guests. Like the riot was bad. These people who were engaging in violence should be prosecuted. And, you know, we don't want something like that to happen, but it certainly wasn't an insurrection. Of course there's middle ground. Ted Cruz is not occupying that. No. So pandering to Democrats who hate you and souring yourself on even moderates who think it's a stupid thing to say, I think he's basically just he may as well have just resigned and said, I'm done. I'm not going to run again. Maybe that's the plan to flip Texas Democrat in the Senate or something. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's arrogance. Maybe he's just out of touch. These people are corny individuals. Like when you meet them in person, you're like, dude, you still got a politician hat on. Dude, we just sitting here talking. Why are you, you know, using certain words and acting like you're in campaign mode? Some of these people are not real individuals. I don't even know if they go home, are they still wearing a suit and trying to campaign to their wife or something or whatever to their kids. I don't know if they're real people.
Campaigning to get laid to their wife.
Right, right.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you why tonight is going to be the best 5 minutes of your life. five minutes? That's right. I won't overpromise. Yeah, no, they are, man. And I tell you, we've reached out to a lot of politicians. And we've been reached out to by a lot of politicians have reached out, and I feel like even the people watch, you can tell. You can tell when there's a Brandon Tatum sitting down having a real conversation and when there's a politician getting ready for something.
Yeah, well, I think politicians and people always say, you should be a politician. I don't like it, man. It's too grimy, too dirty, and I'm too real. Maybe one day I may have to, but I will never be a guy that's going to sit up here and read talking points. And this is what I should say because the people think I'm just me. If you don't want to vote for me, don't vote for me. I don't know why people feel like they got to put on a character. It's like online dating, right? People put a facade out there and they want to present themselves as being a certain way. And then you meet them in person. You're like, oh, you're not really who you said you was. You built the facade. You only put out the things that are positive about you. People should just be real.
There should be a rating score on online dating apps when people give you reviews of five stars. Yeah. That's necessary.
That's
absolutely
awesome.
Sorry, go ahead.
And I guess you get into a long-term dating situation, it just would be irrelevant, I guess. Like, I found the one, it's over, and you close the account. But no one does. They keep their accounts open.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about this next segment, but I do want to – I want to give you guys an update. So last night we had Marjorie Taylor Greene on the show. She was absolutely fantastic. And one of the things that came up was Dan Crenshaw – being listed by the World Economic Forum's Young Global Leaders.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Yeah, with Pete Buttigieg and Tulsi Gabbard.
Buttigieg was a different year. So I actually reached out to Dan Crenshaw, and I'll give you the gist of his statement paraphrase. Basically, his understanding, or I should say my takeaway from what he said, is that this is an editorial list that they have nothing to do with. It's like, so I asked him, is this like Forbes 30 under 30? Like, the World Economic Forum just decides these are people we think you should watch? And he was like, yes, there was no communication involved. They just put me on some list. And now he's like, people see that and they think I'm associated in some way. I think it's important that, you know, people hear his response, because we did pull that up. And I even said, I don't know what this Young Global Leaders thing is.
Right.
And if it turns out that the Davos group just like makes a list of people they're interested in, whether you realize it or not, I don't want to smear the guy over something someone else does.
And I agree with you, but why would they pick him?
Right?
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to pick Trump. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, they're not going to pick Marjorie Greene. They're not going to pick certain people. So why did they pick you? And I'm telling you what, man, my wife cannot stand him. You know, and she just think that he is a part of the establishment. I remember, and I can't verify that unequivocally. I remember when he first came out and I said, yeah, I like this dude. Military guy. He's bad to the bone. You know, missing an eye. This is the dude. And then he started, it's like they get in office and they start getting softer and softer and softer. And before you know it, they're acquiescing in this way. They're trying to be cool with these people and they're in the middle.
Right.
They're not like Marjorie Greene. Like, I'm not expecting everybody to be radical, but I'm expecting you to go in there and tear stuff up. I'm expecting you to go in there and stand your ground and stand on the principles that people are asking you to stand on. You got elected because you had these campaign videos of you being an outsider coming in and serving your community, and because you were in, you know, in the military. But then you get in there and you just shrink down and you just like everybody else. And it's easy for me to talk because I'm not in politics, but like, is that what happens to you when you get into politics?
The ones that want to get
re-elected. Not Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, she's not as
well, you know, but how long?
That was amazing.
And I love her. I met her before she ever was in politics. And I remember we were at conference and she was like, I'm going to run for office. And I remember, you know, she was such a cool person in the fitness. But like, how long is she going to last?
I'll tell you.
She does shows like this for a long time.
The big thing for me was.
It's all about the media.
She said, you know, cookie things on Facebook back in the day. She apologized for those things. I don't know if I agree with her on all of her policy positions, but when she said she went down to Congress and forced roll call votes to make all the members actually come down and have to vote on these bills, I was just like, that deserves a standing ovation.
Absolutely.
Making these people do their jobs. And I got messages from people where they were like, as soon as I heard that, I was like, I'll vote for her. Because like, all of her policy positions aside, if she's going there and telling all these members of Congress, get down here, vote, and do your jobs, I'll take it.
And show the constituents what you're voting for, because otherwise that would be hidden from them. So holding them account to the point where even Republicans are mad at her and Democrats are mad at her because they can't just pass through all these bills really fast, I think that's great. I think the more we have, you know, the stagnation in government, the better government we have. That's my own personal perspective. That's how I see it. Because when they're arguing and fighting amongst each other, they're not trying to put government on someone else. And they've been putting a lot of government on a lot of people, and she's stopping it somewhat.
But I think she's a great example for all Americans that if you feel the call to serve, you don't have to be some politician. You don't have to have some legacy of a political background.
And that's true
you
for AOC
say,
as well.
I want to do this because I feel like I want to make a difference. And if you pursue it, because I remember her saying she was going to do it before she ever did it, and she pursued it and she won. And I think you're correct about AOC. Even though I think she's dumber than a bag of rocks, Well, I don't want to say.
That's not fair to the bag of rocks.
Let me not disrespect rocks like that. You know, God,
Ian's angered ancient, right now. Ancient, you triggered anger.
I love you,
a lot of rocks in front of him.
Ancient rocks. I'm not going to disrespect them like that. So let me not be superfluous. I think that her arguments are poor. I think that she believes what she's saying, though, and that's why she's been so successful. I honestly believe that. AOC.
I disagree, man.
You don't think she? I think she's dumb enough to believe this stuff.
Every time they come out and they say like, "Hey, AOC, I'm criticizing you for this thing you did," she goes, "You just want to date me."
I think she's dumb enough to believe that. She think people want to sleep with her.
You know what I posted? Look. I don't like. You know, we make fun of her for being dumb and all that stuff. I'm actually not a fan of doing that. I don't like her. I do think she is lacking in ability. I think she's a master of marketing. She's a master of media manipulation. But I don't know. I want to make sure that when we present criticisms, it's substantive. You know what I mean?
And I agree.
It feels
I agree.
Greasy.
Yeah. Sometimes we, you know, sometimes I go over the top and I may say certain words because that's how I really feel. But in actuality, you have to say, look at the critique of what she's doing. She literally came on television and bashed people for not wearing masks. She bashed them. She's been bashing DeSantis. And she's literally in his state, drinking and having a good time, hugging people, kissing and partying. That's only what we saw on camera. She was probably living her best life. But she get on TV and she make these claims. She talks about climate change. Oh, we're going to all die in 13 years or something. It's irreversible. But I guarantee you she got on a plane, and flew to Miami, rented a car probably, and is driving around living her best life. These people, they're either dumb or they're evil.
That's
one
right.
of the two.
I think it's evil, dude.
It could be both.
Look,
and I'm not trying to be superfluous in my description of her. I just really do think that these people are evil or they are completely out
Definitely
of their mind.
Ignorant. Because if they think climate easy. Change is not going to be stopped, they're ignorant. Because it can be. We can withdraw the carbon from the atmosphere.
It's got to be evil. And I'll tell you why. Didn't Obama buy beachfront property?
Of course he did. The banks are giving them loans 24
so
hours
here's, a day. Here's, so did Bill Gates.
So these people that come out and claim all this stuff, climate change and whatever, they do the opposite. When I see Marjorie Taylor Greene refusing to wear a mask, and she, you know, and she's got, I think she was saying like, you know, $90,000 in fines or something accrued from all the stupid BS. She's going down to the house and Nancy Pelosi's like, everybody got to wear a mask and she's not going to do it. That's consistent with what she said. She's doing what she says.
Right.
When AOC says Texas is, you know, effectively going to be killing people by ending the mask mandates and then she chooses not to wear a mask in Florida, but criticizes DeSantis, you can see how she really feels. When no one tells her she has to, she won't. So it's not about wearing the masks. It's about the government mandating people do it.
Yeah, so it's like, well, I think it's evil, too, because it's like you know the position and the facts, but you present something different to the people because you want to toe the line, because you want to get reelected. Why would you do people like that when you don't practice what you preach?
Let's put it this way. No matter which direction you go, it's evil. Here's why. If she thinks masks really will save lives and that you have to have them, then she goes to parties without one, thinking she'll be killing people by doing that.
That's kind of evil.
That sounds evil.
Yeah.
Willfully putting people at risk, at least based on that belief that masks are important. Or she's claiming masks are important and doesn't actually believe it and is just lying to toe some tribal line. Also evil.
Dude, it's a career move, right?
Huh.
These people, this is what I'm learning about politics. These people want to stay in office as long as they can, because when you're in office, it's not just your little salary you get. You know, $170,000 you get in the House of Representatives every 2 years or whatever.
They got a $1.4 million budget.
Right.
Per year, I think it is.
But you know how many butts they kissing and how many people they doing deals with behind the scenes? You stay in there long enough, you're going to be set for the rest of your life. And I often wonder, is this what they're really doing it for? Is she doing this to secure the bag for the rest of her life? Pointing out lies that she know aren't true, but she have to push those to get reelected because she really don't care. I mean, she don't care about other people. It didn't appear that she does. I don't know.
It's crazy data, like this CNN analyst saying that masks are calling them facial decorations on TV. Like this is Leanna Wen said this 2 weeks ago. Like, so how
on
confusing
CNN.
On CNN.
On CNN.
So how confusing for someone to be like, you're supposed to wear a mask, but then the CNN guidance comes out or the analyst and says, they don't function properly.
This is the issue. Like, It's almost like, you know, people bring up Yuri Bezmenov all the time. Just confuse and demoralize the population. Keep them in a constant state of chaos so they can't figure out what's going on and what they're supposed to do.
Yep. And the politicians are also in that state.
So, we'll go back to how she ended up, being brought up. We were talking about, you know, first it was Dan Crenshaw. You know, he's arguing with Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, we had MTG on, and I think the member segment we did with her, it was getting legit, and I'm like, man, I really want to have like a longer form off YouTube so we can just go deep dive on a bunch of topics. Because when we do the YouTube show, it's very topical. It's very direct topical. We mostly talked about her and censorship and Congress and what was going on in Congress. And then we started getting to the nitty gritty of just like the things she's talked about in the past, how she feels about vaccine mandates. And it was raw and it was real. And then I was just like, man, she was swearing. And I'm like, it did not feel like the other politicians we've had on the show who are worried about offending one side or the other and trying to get votes. It felt like she was just like, I'm here and I'm going to tell you what I think. And I was like, man, that's what people like about Trump.
Yes.
That's what people like about MTG. You know, we're so sick of the inauthentic, fake BS in politics. We will take something that seems genuine. And unfortunately for the populist left, the people they brought on, they're all disingenuous.
Well, let's be honest. AOC talks a big game. But when Pelosi says step in line, she steps in line and votes like Pelosi wants her to vote. But she also mastered social media. And she also mastered the way of engaging with people and exploiting that to its fullest extent. And there are algorithms that, of course, are pushing her messaging out to millions and millions of people in an unrestricted way, which, of course, is something that the other side does not have. So when you have direct lines through the algorithm to the youth, you're able to influence them, especially when you set up a gaming channel. I mean, this person, I don't think she's dumb. I think she's very smart. I think she's very, very calculated. It might have been a mistake that she got caught without, you know, wearing a mask in Florida. Ron DeSantis said that this is, quote, a ruling class mentality. And I think that has more kind of perspective to it. But look what she did with January 6th. Look how she involved herself in that event.
Yeah, she lied.
When she lied about being at the Capitol.
No. When this story came out, AOC claimed that she thought the rioters had made it to her office. She made that up. The timeline made no sense. I saw Ben Shapiro tweeting it, and I tweeted. I'm like, yo, it's not that she's making up the fear. It's that the whole story's fabricated. I couldn't believe how many people on the right didn't catch this. When the cop knocks on her door and AOC is like, so then I'm like, I hide in the bathroom and I'm thinking like they found me or whatever. And then I hear, where is she? And it's the most exaggerated insanity ever. And then she's thinking she was going to die or whatever she said. When I saw that story, I was like, wait, you know, I actually argued with the Huffington Post guy through direct messages because I said, you know, when she came out in the hallway, there were already a bunch of people there being evacuated. So where was she? She wasn't in the Capitol. She was in her building. Then people said, yeah, but the Capitol does connect through tunnels to that building. And then I was like, why? When did the rioters make it through the tunnels? They didn't. Did they think they were gonna? Why did they think that? And then I actually went through the timeline of when she said it was this time. It was like 1 o'clock when she was getting her food and she had a knock on the door. And I went, at 1 o'clock, not a single rioter had even made it to the building yet. It was they had just breached the first barricade. No one knew what had happened, and the police, it was that famous video where the cops fanning people in. There, it wasn't until I think an hour later that the rioters actually breached the building.
Do you think she was
an hour later?
Do you think she was being honest but had her timeline wrong?
No.
That makes no sense. How was she being honest? So that would mean that if she was being honest, she was in her office, the cop knocked on her door, and then she had a psychic premonition of people raiding the Capitol. Went, they're going to raid the Capitol, and they might be here now.
Right. She was messing up.
It's all bullcrap.
No one knew that was going to happen. She lied, made the whole thing up.
And I've been to the Capitol building. I've been to the halls of Congress. It's difficult to figure that building out. To go through the tunnel is very difficult. Of course, we had to get escorted, and they showed us how to get down there. And if you were down there for the first time, you don't know where it goes. You don't know where to go, where door to go out to. Is room? It's a big hallway in the middle where they got trains and stuff going through there. And so it's like, come on, man. I mean, she is a liar. It's the same thing. People, the left does this well, and the reason why is age, youth. She is in the era of social media. Mm-hmm. Republicans don't have a lot of young people involved, and therefore they are not capturing the social media, you know, frenzy, and they're not getting the reach that AOC is getting. If you notice, it's the older people that don't even use Facebook. I mean, some of the people, some of the Republicans probably don't even know how to use social media at this point. They're not good at it. That's why we, or I say we, I'm a Republican. That's why we should get younger people involved, like Marjorie. I think it's Marjorie Taylor Greene. Marjorie. I keep saying her name.
She's not younger.
That's just her husband.
I don't want to call her old. But, she's a mom.
She's about my age.
Yeah,
she's 46, 47.
Right.
She's younger in the 30-40 range. She's not 60, 50, 60.
And she's healthy. Yeah, 70.
Kinda,
so she's like got a young mind.
I hear what you're saying, but it is kind of scary that they're she's so the old one. That she's the young one.
Right. I mean, how is she going to beat you up next time she sees you?
No, I'll just
mess with you.
No, we got to be real. Like, yeah, so I was like, I don't want to call her old or anything like that because she's only 47. But that it's kind of crazy that we need millennials.
Because we don't have term limits. We need term limits because otherwise you're going to get all these 80-year-olds.
It's not cool, though. Politics are not cool.
You can run for office when you're 75 for the first time.
I feel like Trump made it a little more cool, you know, a little more dynamic. You don't have to be a politician to be in office. But it's not sexy to be a politician.
Nah.
But people need to make it that way. And I feel like AOC for the left, she made it cool.
The Kennedy assassination made it not cool for me. Like, I can't get in there and speak my mind because I'm afraid that they're all watching me and they know where I sleep. Like, I'm not comfortable with that. If a president gets in there and they really want to change the system, they're going to need to duck out of the country for a while because the CIA is not going to like it. The system is like in place for a reason.
Yeah, it's scary.
I don't know
if
politics can twist it open. I don't.
But when you're young, I mean, most people that probably should be in politics don't desire to be in politics.
Right.
And the people that do desire to be in politics are people probably who are power hungry and narcissistic, and that's how they end up getting
that's
in.
The paradox,
and they get power, and then they love it.
Sociopaths.
And so it's unfortunate, but like, I don't know how to fix it, but younger people need to feel more confident that, look, this is our country.
Yeah,
and we need to take it over through being in politics.
It's like it needs a bunch of things to have to happen at once. We need young, new, intelligent politicians. We need new pieces of technology and new shows that are being developed that are like invigorating the entire process. But it has to happen all at once. It can't be one or the other.
Right.
I'm just not the person that can get into politics because of my mind state. It'd be too dangerous for me.
Let's just jump off the metaphorical cliff with this next article from Politico. They write, "We are in a new civil war." About what exactly? Grievous conflicts have been about big things, war, slavery, depression, but this time we just don't like each other. Spoken like a true establishment Democrat personality who doesn't know anything about the right or moderates or libertarians or post-liberals. This article says to me, oh, they've recognized there's anger, there's a conflict, but they're so ignorant to what's been going on, they think we just don't like each other. That to me is absolutely incredible. Let me just start with Barack Obama killed children. National Defense Authorization Act, indefinite detention provision.
NSA spying.
NSA spying. The prosecution of journalists and whistleblowers. And then let's move on to more towards the end. Hillary Clinton deleting 30,000 emails, getting away with it. And the establishment lying and protecting. How about this? Russiagate, Ukrainegate, the Covington kids, over and over and
Benghazi.
Over. Lies. Benghazi, Afghanistan. Now, I can complain about the things Trump did with the commando raids in Yemen and the drone strikes, upping the drone strikes, missile strikes in Syria, too. And I can tell you, I think most people in this country are pissed off at the establishment for those reasons and many, many more. But what do they say? We just don't like each other. No. You don't know. This faction of the establishment zombie NPCs, they just hate. They hate or they're ignorant. They don't read, they don't care to learn, and they don't want to hear what you have to say. But the conflict we are seeing bubble up from, I guess, the American populists, be it moderate left and right, then you have the establishment left, there's real reasons why there's a conflict happening.
Yeah, I think that that's true. But the layman, the average American, they hate each other and don't even know why. People hate their neighbors. I agree with you to a certain degree because I do think that there's reasons why, but a lot of people cannot even articulate the reason why they don't like Trump.
Why do you think it is? Where do you think it comes from?
People are dumb. We've been dumbed down through technology, through the school system. People are they're such sheep, and maybe we've always been this way.
But this is what I'm saying, right? You ask the average Trump supporter, do you watch Trump speak? They'll probably say yes. And that's why they like him. How many people have we heard, they used to be Democrats and then they decided to vote for Trump after they actually listened to the man?
Right.
What the media had done, the establishment media, with articles like this, what are we mad about exactly? They don't tell their audience what's really happening. They show Trump in the worst possible light. I saw a Reddit post. And it was like one of the top posts, and it said, "For the life of me, I don't understand why this wasn't the end of it." And it was a picture of Trump doing the arm thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it said, "Trump mocks disabled reporter." They set Trump up with that. And if you actually watch the video, Trump supporters said, "Trump insults everyone in the same way," saying, oh geez, it has nothing to do with the reporter in general. When you realize that Trump insults everybody that way, you're like, oh, he's just an asshole.
Yeah.
It wasn't directed at one disabled guy, but the media lied about it.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I get it. He's kind of a dick, but what is he saying? And then you actually listen to what he has to say and you're like, wow, the media told me he was a white supremacist. Now it turns out he just wants to bring factories back. All of a sudden, people vote for him.
I just kind of want to add a little bit to your point that you were making in the beginning. I think it's fair to acknowledge that the establishment has been screwing over the average person for a very long time. Whether it's the wars, the banker bailouts, the hyper money printing, there's a lot of problems that are artificially created for the benefit of the ruling elite in the United States that screws over the average American. And then they have the gall to say, it's his fault. And they're doing this with social conditioning. They're doing this with the algorithms. They're doing this with trauma-based mind control and emotional manipulation. And they're saying all of your problems that we caused, how we laced you, we skinned you, we screwed you over, your neighbor's the problem. And some people are actually believing it and buying that bag of lies. And to me, this is why we're so close towards this conflict, which again, we should do everything in our power to try to avoid. Sorry, you had something to say as well.
One more point real quick. Sorry. I just want to reiterate a point that we brought up on a couple other shows. Lauren Boebert made fun of Biden for saying true Nana Shaba to pressure when he had that gaffe. She said, Biden has never fulfilled his promise of getting us true Nana Shaba to pressure or whatever. And the response from the Democrat activist base was, what is she trying to say? Her brain is finally rotted. Oh no, look how dumb she is. What was she trying to type? They didn't know Joe Biden said that because they don't watch the news. And Politico and CNN, these outlets, don't inform them of what's actually going on. So they live in this bubble world, echo chamber, where they hate everyone outside of it. And the people outside of it, you know, across beyond the fire, have seen all the different aspects of reality and the nuance. That's the conflict.
Can we play the true Nana Shaba to pressure at some point?
Well, I'll pull it up. Well, you.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head because that's how I became Republican and why I voted for Trump is because I went to one of his rallies. Now, first and foremost, I'm open-minded. And that's what people need to get to the point where they can say, let me open my mind up and hear both sides of an argument before I make a decision. But I went to a rally, a Trump rally, and I think it was 2015, 2016. And I went in there and he was supposed to be this racist dude throwing black people out of his rallies for no reason, illegally, and all this other stuff. I went there and the dude was cool.
Yeah.
He was saying all the things that I believe. I'm like, and he did it with passion. He did it authentically, all of the above. And then I found out that he wasn't throwing people out of his events illegally. He was buying or renting these spaces as a private event, and you can, in a private event, you can ask people to leave, and if they refuse to leave, they can be arrested for trespassing. That's what he did. He gave an announcement before every rally that he did. And all of that blew my mind as a police officer. And I said, you know what? These people are lying. And I'll say this too about the Republicans is that the Republicans need to do a good job at recruiting and converting.
But they don't, but
the Republicans don't do the converting. The Democrats do. I didn't become a Republican because of Republicans. I came to Republican because of these crazy Democrats. All of my friends, all my dad, everybody, they go so crazy, these leftists. They go so wacky that it pushed people away, and then they end up going to the other side.
Would you start a new political party?
It's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late because, you know, you still have people in this country that are rational, right? There's the radical, and then there's the rational people. And I think a lot of rational people still have rational ideas within the Republican Party and believe that it could actually be, you know, rescued. If you get another party, it just, you're going to split the vote.
I'm going to play this clip just real quick.
Effective strategy to mobilize true and international effort to pressure. I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true and international effort to pressure. I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize.
I want the cheering
true
after.
Do you have the
true and international effort to pressure?
It's the way the crowd cheers after he says it. It's right. Like this cult of like, they don't even know what he said, but they're like, yes.
That's another thing. I was like, when he says true and international effort to pressure or whatever and Batacalf care, everyone goes, yeah. It's like, what?
They're cheering just for the fact that he made a noise. It doesn't even matter what he said. They don't even know.
That's usually politics, Ian.
True and international effort to pressure.
I mean, the guy is showing early signs of mental deterioration. I mean, it's not even a joke. I mean, the fact that he's stumbling over his words, he can't talk straight. He don't know where he's at half of the time.
This proves that the president is not in charge. This proves that 100%. someone else is calling the shots. That's from my perspective. That's how I see it. That's my opinion. I know we disagree, and we can debate this later.
Hold on. It's a good point, Luke. I disagree with you. I think your opinion is valid. In my opinion, I think he's sitting at the table, whacked out of his mind. Kamala Harris doesn't care. And he's telling people, we got to, you know, he's in this, like, the Situation Room. You got Libya. Come on, man. And then they're like, okay. And they all look around at each other, and they're like, you got it. And they walk out of the room like, what do we do?
Withdraw? Attack? What are we supposed to do?
Let's just move some ships around. And then they do. Like, I think Joe Biden is just muttering and sputtering, and they just say, when you look at Kamala Harris not going to the border, that's, I don't think that's an issue of Biden not running the show. I think it's an issue of them being like, I don't know, man. I don't care. Biden says she's the borders are, and she's like, I ain't doing it. What's he? He's going to forget, so I don't care.
I think there's a whole bunch of BlackRock corporate executives or dark suits sitting with literal strings on Biden and pulling him every step of the way as he moves. But that's just my own perspective and opinion. But I also wanted to add, I think this concept of civil unrest, of a civil war, it's not a crazy one. Newsweek had a very important article today, and they were talking about how civil unrest historically is the norm after pandemics, and they talked to two political scientists, and they said between the 1300s Black Death and the 1918 Spanish flu, there were 57 pandemics, and there was only 4 cases of them that didn't result in a revolt or large scale protest afterwards. And they actually announced a number of times.
Yeah, the cops just walked in.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. I was looking at my notes and I was like,
Did somebody SWAT you?
Yep, somebody SWATted us.
Did they really? SWATted
us? Yep, somebody SWATted us. So that's
How do you know?
I have somebody texting me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Tim's gonna go take care of business.
Yeah, just a police officer
just
entered here, looked around, cause it looks like someone SWATted this live broadcast here.
Glad they didn't come in here bussing, man.
I'm glad, man.
I mean, that's something that's extremely dangerous, extremely reckless, because, you know, SWAT incidences have led to a lot of innocent people dying. Dogs being shot, people being shot, people thinking that their house is being raided by criminals defending themselves. So whoever did that and they're listening, like,
those things, you know, and it's a hefty penalty if you get caught SWATting. That's a felony crime, and you can spend years in jail over it because the inherent risk. If a police officer, you know, if the police officer believes that there's, who knows what they said? You know, they could have said somebody is screaming for
help. Or kidnapped. Someone's kidnapped here. We need to send
and
in just police officers.
And I heard a boom. Yeah, I don't know if
they opened that door loud.
They hit. So what if we were in here, you know, and we saw them and we pulled a trigger on them? Now we're in a shootout with the police. You can get them hurt. We can get hurt. You know, it's crazy.
Did that happen to you while you were on the force?
No, we never got caught on
that. I'm gonna tell you guys what just happened. I just walked out of the room. The cops walked in. They walked around with flashlights. We've been SWATted. I am extremely unhappy with this because I can't necessarily be mad at the officers. They were very polite, but I do not like cops coming into my house when we have mats all over the place. They come back with a warrant.
Yeah.
And I don't know who let them in or why.
Yeah, what happened?
I understand they're here because we got SWATted. A report was made that 2 people had been shot and killed. Jesus. And that the gunman was threatening to hurt themselves. They didn't send a SWAT team. It was just a couple of officers. I don't want to drag them or be mean to them because they were polite. But I'm not happy with the idea that they're walking into our studio while we are live. They're walking around. Cop immediately, I walked out of the room. He immediately came up and said, I'm really, really sorry about this. We're not trying to, you know, screw with you or ruin what you're doing. Here's what happened. We got a call. 2 people had been shot and killed, and a person was going to be killing themselves. We have to check it out, make sure everything's okay. We're going to be doing a sweep once we figure it out. And I'm just like, come back with a warrant.
But I have to say, this is what I have to say. I don't think that they believe that was 100% true. There's no way on planet Earth that only 2 officers would show up to a double homicide with a barricaded subject.
Yeah, tell them to leave and like.
Well, then let me just explain this from a police perspective as well. If the police do a swatting call, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's found to be illegitimate.
You're right.
They, you know, any evidence that they think they may have or they may, it's suppressed because this was an illegitimate entry into a house. You can enter under exigent circumstances, but if it's an illegitimate exigent circumstance, there's no, searching for evidence and different things like that. So I get it, but as a cop, I see how you can't just not do anything.
What's an exigent circumstance?
Exigent.
What's that? Exigent circumstance. Meaning that it's a circumstance in which you have to do it in a hurry. It's a right now thing. Right. That means that right now I have to act.
Emergency.
It's an emergency.
I think this to me is like highlights the value of local police, because when I was in Chile, I noticed it was all national cops everywhere. They all have like uniforms standing on the corner. If you get a call like this only national cops, you got no one's going to be there to defend you.
What's happening right now.
You know your neighbors.
What's happening right now doesn't make sense. Like if I'm a cop and I'm hearing active shooting, guy with a gun shot two people, I'm not going to walk in here without a SWAT team, right?
Yeah. Well, it depends, right? You got to think of, like I said, exigent circumstances. Police officers have a duty to respond immediately.
Right.
A SWAT team takes a while to assemble. I was on a SWAT team, and we had about an hour. If it was a full call out, a hostage situation, we still had to have enough time for everybody on the team to get their equipment and get to the location. And we had to get together to a certain degree to try to figure out what tactics we're going to use. So it takes time. If there was a real call of two people shot, a man with a gun, they have to respond now.
Right.
And if those two officers are the only ones in the area, they have to come now. And they have to force entry and they have to make sure everything's okay. That speaks to the bravery of law enforcement officers, because what if there was a situation like that and they were the only two here and they were going to risk their lives potentially getting mowed down, shot and killed, ambushed.
Right.
But they had to respond anyway because there was potential loss of life that they had to rescue.
I've been hearing lately that cops don't have to respond.
Well, the Supreme Court has ruled many times if a police officer sees a crime happening, they do not have to intervene.
That's an argument. That's an argument in the Supreme Court. That's not an argument that happens on the scene.
I got news. You
know? Oh, what's the news? All right.
They entered in direct. Okay, hold on. I was just running around. When they came to the door, they were told you may not enter without a warrant. They said, we're entering anyway.
Oh.
Wow.
Which is lawful.
Exigent circumstances.
Right.
We can enter your property and search the premises.
Right, which is what I said.
I told them, with respect, officers, I would like you to leave unless you have a warrant. And they said, we get it. We swept the house, we're leaving.
But that's,
I don't trust it.
No, but that's the way. No. Yeah, this is the way it's supposed to happen, right? And you are right by saying, "Hey, are you guys done? You need to leave." The police officers have to check because if they show up here and there's a dead body in the room somewhere, because somebody, just say if somebody in the house called and said and called it in, but they actually, you know, did something to themselves, and the cops just showed up and said, "Oh, there's nothing there." The next morning, there's a dead person in the house. Who's going to be held liable? So a quick sweep is reasonable, and then they have to leave.
For future reference,
yes.
Cops ever walk in like that? Put on the room cam.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Well, it takes me a minute to switch it over, but
for sure.
Yeah.
Or whatever camera shows them. Brandon was talking, and the cops are like walking around with flashlights, and I'm like,
I saw all their faces too. Everyone looked. What's everyone looking at?
The one cop, he like waves over to me, and I'm like, no.
I'm like, recording.
We're live. What are you doing?
I thought he was a friend of yours. I thought he knew you. Oh, I thought he was coming to the show. Because I saw the door open. I'm like, who's coming in during the podcast?
What's going on?
Well, I feel bad. They were being nice. And I understand, like, someone calls in and says people are dead.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's go check it out. And their mentality is like, we're going to be protecting Tim and his house and everything.
With our lives, and we don't know what's happening. Yeah, it was only, two of them.
There were three. There were like four or five.
Oh, guys. Four or five. Which is good.
Because that was the upstairs guys. Good. But when you brought up, like, there's no way they wouldn't come with gear, they wouldn't be prepared. I think when they got here and realized everything was looking normal, they were like, okay, let's just do a check, but it seems like a swatting, right? The problem I have with it is, I don't want to blame the guy, because there's a circumstance of, you know, what if someone got killed? What if they're really in trouble?
Yeah.
But then the problem is, what if they can just use exigent circumstances as a pretext to come into my house? We have doormats at every door that's come back with a warrant.
That's not a joke.
So, Allison, who, was downstairs, they come to the door and says, you cannot come in without a warrant. And they said, we are coming in anyway. We have exigent circumstances. And then I was like, cause when they walked in here, I'm like, who let them in?
Yeah, of course. First,
no, they let themselves in.
Yeah, and but you got to understand too is that, you know, they can't come here and do a search. You know what I'm saying? They're supposed to be searching for dead bodies.
Yeah.
In a crime. They come in, there's no crime, they leave.
Mm-hmm. So
they can't go snooping around. They can't go looking in the rooms.
Exigent circumstances.
Exigent circumstances. They will have to articulate that I went to this room. I saw the guy had a body worn camera. They can only go here and leave. They can't go snooping around your property.
What if they see something illegal when they walk around? Well,
this is the thing. Like, if this was a real call and there was a real incident that occurred and they had to come in the house and they saw a bale of drugs here, they have that. That's in plain sight.
But
they can actually, come here and get the drugs and charge somebody with it.
What if it's an exigent call and they see?
It's something. The same thing. It's in plain view.
That's why I'm calling BS.
However,
we don't do anything like that here.
However, if it's a swatting, none of that, I don't think any of that will hold up in a court of law. If it's a fake call to somebody's house and the police were here and then they see something, I don't think it'll hold up in a court of law.
Are they going hard on this guy that swatted?
That's a felony crime. You can do like 20 years in prison for swatting. It's a very serious crime.
I said it was 2022. I'm like, they are going to be going hard against everybody. You're going to be harassed. You're going to be censored. You're going to be smeared.
I don't think the cops were involved. I think somebody just swatted.
Right, exactly. Oh, course, yeah. No, I'm saying whoever swatted us, like, that's the pressure they want to put in the house. But imagine, like, what you were saying. There's a lot of people. What's that book? You commit 3 felonies a day or whatever?
Yeah.
So there, you know, maybe someone here did something dumb and then we get swatted and the cops walk in. They're like, oh, look, the cat's doing a backflip on Sunday. Yeah. That's illegal.
And things like
that.
And they can't do that. Are phone calls exigent circumstances? Could they be ruled out just because someone called and said something?
Yeah, it just depends, man. Like when I was a police officer, we used to have these 911 hangups.
Yeah.
And those are the most dangerous calls because you don't know why a person hung up. If you get enough information and it's reasonable to believe that there could be something there, you have to check. Because you may get here and 2 people shot and killed in a house, and a person barricading themselves is not going to make any noise.
Right.
And this house is confusing, you know. So, you know, somebody can be somewhere and they're.
I'll tell you, for people who don't know, this house is a maze.
I don't know where I'm at.
It's not mazier than
it was before.
It's not the craziest, but it's funny how people get lost here, and I don't realize. I'm like, wow, they got lost.
I've been here before, and I don't know where I'm at.
Yeah,
because there's 2 different studio rooms. There's like 5 floors. It's a ridiculous building. There's a sub-basement, a basement, a first, second, third floor. We have a new attic. And when you're going up to the studio, there's actually like a fork in the road, and people usually go the wrong way and end up in the wrong room.
Yeah.
And then they get confused. It's too dark, and they're like, where's the light?
Yeah.
But that's good for me because I was thinking about if someone broke in here, I was like, well, you know, when we're going over our plan for our security protocols, because we've had these threats before. And I was going through it, I was like, wow, I just realized a person who comes in this house will get lost.
Yes. Yeah.
Because what people need to understand is there's a lot of people who are like, Tim's got a giant $1 million mansion, blah, blah. It's an office building. Like the second floor is a bunch of desks and computers for editing work. One of the bedrooms, it's an equipment room with shelves and a computer. And then there's an editing bay. And then a music studio. This is a place where people work, not a place where people live.
Right, right.
So you're walking into a 10,000 square foot office building in the shape of a house, basically.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And here's the silver lining in this. Now the police officers know who you are. Hopefully you have a conversation with them. They know what you do for a living. And now if they get another call, they're like, okay, slow down. Let me call.
Yes.
Because you can give them your phone number. They'll call you and say, hey, we got a call. Is everything okay there? And you're like, yeah, it's no big deal. Another thing I think would be good is to put cameras in here so you can see what's going on.
Well, we do.
Well,
so here, can you switch to the room cam real quick?
Yeah, hold on. Let me change it over.
So we've actually, we've got a PTZ camera that can basically sweep the whole room. It's actually pretty good. Look at this. So that's why I wish we had it ready to go.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think if we knew, like
frozen.
No one expected cops to walk into the studio. But for future reference, we see someone, let's get the camera on.
I have to say they did a pretty decent job, man. Nobody pulled a gun.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a cop and we searched houses, we had our guns out and we were, you know, it was way more intense than that. But maybe they caught on to say, oh, this is nothing going on here.
Well, we're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So when you're in a city and you're in a house with 50 houses and hundreds of people, those cops are probably like, if this person's armed, they could hurt their neighbors. We're out in the middle of nowhere. Literally, like, it's just trees everywhere. The cops here are probably like, well, if they are locked in their house, they ain't going anywhere. There's nobody around them. So we'll get there as fast as we can. We'll check it out. It's less of a dire circumstance as opposed to being in a dense population.
Yeah, somebody must have called as if they were in the house because
that's what he said.
There's because if it's an external person that don't have current information in the house, it's not safe for cops to just bombard in. It's better for them to make announcements and hostage negotiate and stuff like that. But unless somebody's bleeding out and then you got that whole thing. But
whoever did it wanted it to happen during the show.
Wanted attention, too.
That's what they always do.
To send a message, obviously.
But it's and they're probably watching going like, haha, we did it.
But they didn't do anything. And if they get found, they're going to go to prison. It's a felony crime.
I have a feeling that they won't be found. That's just my personal perspective.
Dude, it's so easy to spoof. It's like...
Yeah.
They might. Yeah. You never know. With technology, the way the technology is today, they got...
Well, the NSA knows everything, but they don't share everything unless it works in their personal benefit.
Right.
Plus, it's January 6th. I'm like, who knows what lies, what manipulations. But I'm just saying, 2022, man, the censorship, the smears, the swatting, the fear tactics, the establishment does not want... And I'll say, I keep telling people... Vote in the primaries.
Oh, you have to. Local, in the primary.
But that is the scariest thing because that's their secret. The Republicans and the Democrats know that their worst case scenario for the most part is even if they vote for the other, you know, party, we are winning the primaries and the establishment will still be in power. So when we come out on our shows, your show, our show, whatever show, and we say vote in the primaries, they're like, uh-oh, that's the secret. That's where you actually can get rid of the neocons and the neolibs.
That's where it changed over. You don't have to wait 4 years. You can get them in the primary and make sure you vote local. You know, a lot of people are so worried about these federal elections that the leftists are taking over in local elections. They're taking over the school board. They're taking over all of these local elections, city council, and they're running the city from within. You may have a Republican senator, but the state level politicians are all Democrats. And so then when election time comes around and things like that, who's monitoring that? It's going to be the people that's on the state level. And so I think that we need to vote in and out of season. Like you have to vote. You have to get involved. You have to be a part of the process. You know, me and my wife, we made it a promise this year that we're going to be more a part of the process. We can't just sit back and just talk. We gotta know what's going on. We gotta endorse the right candidates. We have to support candidates, fund them if we can. Well, we have to be active or we're gonna get steamrolled.
Just really quick, cause a lot of people are asking in the comment section, everyone's fine, everyone's safe. I'm talking to people on the house on the phone. Every animal's safe, nothing happened. Luckily, we were able to avoid anyone getting seriously hurt. So we were very lucky and everyone's okay and everyone's safe. But
I was, you know, after you mentioned like, why would they just come two guys? I was like, I need to go tell them to get out. Like, cause they were, when I talked to them, they were like, we're going to go or whatever. And then I thought, no, I need to see them out the door. I need to make sure that I say to them, I don't want them here. I don't approve of them being here. I don't approve of any searches. And they didn't do any extensive kind of searching. They just walked through the house and walked out. And then when I went down, I was like, who let them in? And people were like, no, actually we denied them entry. And so I'm like, all right. You know, I think we did the best we could do in the circumstances.
Kind of feels like an inoculation. Like they're like, okay, we know Tim. They know us. Some of the cops watch the show in the town.
They said that?
I've been told, Andreas told me once that one of the cops, he met a cop and he was like, yeah, I watched the show. It's awesome.
I think they're familiar.
Yeah, they know that there's going to be effery.
This is the challenge. This is the challenge with cops. I empathize with them, especially if they're keeping us safe in the event. Some lunatic could actually come here. And then make that phone call and they're going to be like, what if it literally is some crazy psychopath wants to go and screw up the show and hurt people?
Right.
We need their help.
We do. Yeah.
So the one time they do come in, I don't want to be the boy who cried wolf. Next time something bad happens, I'm like, guys, no, for real. This is me and this is happening. They're going to be like, yeah. You know, we're not falling for that again.
And you don't want to be a jerk.
I don't want it to happen.
And you don't want to be a jerk to him either. I think that wouldn't matter. They'll still save your life, but you don't want to be a jerk to him. Communication is the best thing.
That's the hard thing.
I think communication is the best thing. I would, you know, have an opportunity to get the officer's badge number, get communication with the officers, and set up a contingency plan and say, look, this is what we do here. This is where I'm located. You know, if we have an incident.
Could we have a secret code where, like, if we call something in, we know a certain passphrase?
I mean,
it's hard to get through the dispatch like that, but they could put, like, cause you're on our system, and I think the system is probably generally the same across the board. your address has a flag on it, right? So yeah. In the system, it'll say that this house was swatted. They could write that down in the system. They could say this person is a podcaster. They can have a special note for this address. So therefore, when a call comes in to the dispatch runs the address and the address has a flag on it. And they go, okay, they'll tell the officers, this person is a podcaster. We've been there before for swatting. Here's the person's phone number. So an officer can try to contact a contact here first before they show up and it becomes violent. If they contact the contact here and you say, no, it's real deal. Like we need your help. You know, it's better to have relationships with police than to leave it up to chance because it could go south and you don't want to be on the opposite side.
We had to do this with the last place we lived at. So those cops were awesome. And I went to the department and we talked politics and we had a laugh and I told them like, just so you guys know, like we were like a block away. So I just want to say like the what I was trying to convey is, you know, and I was like, with respect, you know, I understand why you guys are here, but I would appreciate it if you would leave. I don't approve of any search with, you know, unless you have a warrant. And they were like, okay, all right, you know, we get it.
And the truth is they probably, you know, just imagine if they found something in here. You know how long an investigation will take? No cop wants to do that. They don't want nothing to do with this.
A lot of paperwork.
They don't even want to be here. Like, I mean, the average cop would be like, okay, tell me twice. You good? We good? I'm getting out of here. I'd rather go hang out somewhere.
This is one of the reasons why we're moving to West Virginia, too.
Yeah.
I don't trust Maryland's laws on self-defense. I don't trust this state. And while I live in West Virginia, we set up, you know, production right on the other side of the river, which is in Maryland. So, There's one thing that concerns me is, or that I find disconcerting, and does concern me, and everybody here actually. If you're gonna raid somewhere, if you're gonna hurt someone, the smartest thing an evil person would do is swat us. You know why? Get the cops to relax. Get them to think, oh, it's just a swatting. So the next time this happens, they get a report of something crazy going on, they're gonna be like, let's slow down guys, it's probably BS, and it gives the bad guy more time.
Right.
And if they're targeting us, they know that. So, you know, we're armed here, but we are limited to a certain degree based on what Maryland does allow. But Maryland allows enough. I'll put it that way. More than enough. West Virginia allows way more.
Yeah. That's why I live in Arizona. Constitutional carry. I got all kind of stuff, and I got it everywhere. So somebody come in my house, it'd be like 4th of July. It's going to be a light show.
Are you on really good terms with the cops in the area?
Oh, yeah. They know me. All of them follow me on social media, you know. They know me. You know, the funny thing is my alarm went off and my son didn't know the code to disarm it. And the alarm goes off, man. The cops show up thinking it's a burglary call. And they end up seeing me at the front door and they're like, Officer Tatum. So I'm like, yeah, put this address down. This is where I live. So just in case something happened, you know it's me.
Do you get down with the fire department too? Do you hang out with the firemen?
My best friend is a firefighter in the Phoenix Valley, and we cool. My dad was a firefighter.
Oh yeah, me too.
My dad retired. He retired as a chief of Waco Fire.
Nice.
Yeah. So
yeah. Waco.
We used to have like firemen, police picnics and stuff.
Yeah, we talk trash every day.
Of course,
talk trash. I call them the second responders.
Hey, what's this book behind you? We didn't have mentioned it yet. I've been looking at it throughout the show.
It's my book, Beating Black and Blue, Being a Black Cop in America Under Siege. I wrote a book about policing in America. This very thing, you know, trying to make sure that there's education on policing in America with the defund the police movement, with police brutality, what's a justified shooting, what's not. I interview 5 police officers in the book. To give their experiences of what it's like being a police officer today, you know, in society today with all the craziness that's going on. And at the end of the book, we give solutions. So that's one of my prouder moments of 2021 was publishing that.
Where's the best place for people to get it?
Amazon.
Cool.
So you go on Amazon, Beating Black and Blue, put it in there. And it was, when I launched it, it was number one bestseller.
I have a question.
Number one new release
bestseller. Do you think we should make robot cops?
No. It's something about personal relationships. It's something about human to human interaction. You don't want the cops to be letter of the law. You want them to be letter and spirit of the law. And like those cops that came here, you know, they have emotions and, you know, maybe they can perceptualize things a little better than a computer would. But you do want to connect. You know, I think it's invaluable for community policing and community policing to be a part of policing and the community, you know, the bond together. Because if we had the adequate amount of police officers, we funded our police officers like we should, we would have so many more productive relationships. And because police aren't bad, they are not inherently bad.
It's just
and what they do is not bad. It's just that It's such a big miscommunication.
What about the cops in New York City and other major areas that are enforcing lockdowns and shutting down small businesses while they allow Walmart and Amazon to be open?
Well, you got to think of it like this. You say, who's bad? The officer that's doing it, or the system, or the governor, or the mayor?
But they wouldn't be able to do it without the officers following orders.
No. But this is, you got.
I'm an individualist. I'm not a collectivist.
Right. So this is the way. This is the way I look at it. I say, let's make sure we're talking about the same thing. If an officer is arresting a person for trespassing because a private business has rights, I'm cool with that. I don't believe it's right that a municipality enforces mandates on shutting down a business. Now, I don't know the nuances. I don't know what leverage police officers have. Are they just giving tickets? Are they forcing people out? What are they actually doing? I don't know.
They're putting people in camps in Australia.
But that's Australia. That's not here. I don't agree with what's happening there.
In New York City, an unvaxxed guy walks into a Burger King and they say, you can't order. Unless you have your vax card, you got to leave. He says, no, I want to be served. They say, you're trespassing. The cops come in.
Yeah.
The cops say, you're trespassing now and we're going to arrest you. But the only reason they're trespassing is because they're unvaccinated.
Well, you got to think of it from a police perspective. You're right according to the business, but according to the police, it doesn't matter what the business is doing. It's just a matter. Have you been asked a reasonable request to leave?
It seems like the cops enforcing vaccination with extra steps.
No. I don't think the cops have anything to do with that. You know, the cops are responding because a business asked the person to leave and they refused to. This could be mask mandate.
But the business doesn't want you to leave. The business wants you to buy a cheeseburger.
No, but they want you to leave.
They don't. So a lot of these businesses will straight up say, like, we're not the ones doing this. The city's making us. So if the police, if the police are enforcers of the state and the state is telling the business, you better kick them out. Otherwise we'll punish you. Then you can't go back to the state and be like, okay, now kick them out, but it's not your fault because you're a different state actor. No. It's the state.
Well, no, I understand, but we have laws that we voted on. And so if we want things to change, we need to change those laws. We need to change the power that we give governors and mayors.
But it's decrees. It's not even laws.
Yeah, it's not a law.
It's politicians saying, I decree your small business gets shut down and police officers come and fine you and steal your wealth and steal your business license and make you shut down while we're going to allow all these other big corporations to be open. And this is because I said so. And cops are like, yep, got it.
What do you want the cops to do?
Say no. This is a decree. This is not a law. This wasn't passed democratically. This wasn't something that we agreed upon through our system. You're going above and beyond the system. You're abusing your power. You could only enforce this power if I do it. So I'm going to say no. I'm going to hold myself responsible to the letter of the law.
I want to believe you. I want to go down that path with you. I agree to a certain degree, but at the same time, there's laws on the book. So if you've given the mayor, the governor's power to enforce certain things. You may disagree with them. It's not up to the police officer to say, I agree, I disagree. The police officer is supposed to act on what is the actual law. What authority do the mayor or the governor have according to the law? Now, if you're violating the law and the Constitution, then I would agree that police officers should not participate in that. If it's got to be obvious, it can't be ambiguous.
Let's say I live in New Jersey.
Okay.
And I take my 30-30 Winchester repeater on a sling, and I walk down the street, and a cop walks up and says, felony, you're going to prison, and arrests me. Is that cop wrong to do that?
I'm not sure. What's the law?
Well, the Constitution says I have the right to keep and bear arms.
Right. So this is the problem with us voting for certain things.
Well, you can't vote away my constitutional rights.
We have accepted it.
They're inalienable. No, hold on.
Let me say
a lot of us haven't.
No. If a person now I know a lot of us have. I would never vote for gun restriction at all. But the way we have our system is that maybe people don't agree, but the majority voted, and that's how it gets
passed. That's the point of the Constitution.
Right, but this is what I'm saying.
To prevent.
I agree with you to a certain degree. I wish we didn't have any of those things in, but we're inconsistent with the way we apply these things. If a person murdered 20 people, went to prison for 20 years, got out, and they're a prohibited possessor, is that right?
I think the answer is no, but... Wow. So
as a society, we've accepted that.
So the Constitution reasonable. There's been a few instances of evolution on my position. First was I was like, no, I think if you do your time, you get your guns back. And then people correctly noted that the Constitution, your rights can be curtailed through due process, which means if you are a violent felon, part of due process is you can no longer have a weapon. That is constitutional. And I said, actually, yeah, that actually is true. It's in the Constitution. Right. But for a 60-year-old woman to have a snub nose, you know, 38 or something, and for a cop to be like, she belongs in prison. But I don't care what the Constitution says.
But a cop, you got to think, a cop doesn't make that decision. That decision is made in the court of law.
No, A cop has discretion. A cop has discretion how he wants to enforce the laws.
No, you don't.
He has discretion.
The Supreme Court's actually ruled on this.
Okay, no. An officer, okay, just say this person murdered another person. Can an officer walk up and say, I'm not arresting you because I don't want to arrest you. You murdered a pedophile, so I'm not going to arrest you. You don't, it's certain things you have discretion on and certain things you don't have discretion on. Right? A speeding ticket, you can have a discretion on.
Criminal law, you're
to enforce that law.
There was a really big story in New York that Luke was covered and interviewed the guy. The Supreme Court, I think it was right, the Supreme Court actually said the cops have no obligation to enforce the law.
But that's not applied on the street level. That's applied.
Well, it's a choice.
No, that's applied when you have to challenge these things in the court of law. Luke? That's not applied on the street.
Well, my friend Joe Lazzito was attacked by a serial murderer who was on a killing spree. He was able to stop him. Police officers were watching the whole time, standing by, looking as the whole thing happened. The police officers knew that there was a serial killer on their loose. They saw him attack, kill people. They saw him stabbing people. Police officers with firearms, with batons, two of them, decided to stand behind and hide and not be seen as Joe Lazzito, a man who is a hero, who stopped a mass murderer. He used techniques that he saw on the UFC, took him down, disabled his knife after being stabbed in the head, almost losing his life. And after that, only after the knife was thrown away, after this killer was finally subdued, then the police officers came out, put handcuffs on him, and they waited a long time. Joe Lazzito almost bled out because of that long wait. And then on the national news, they had police officers save man from serial killer, calling him a victim, which was an utter disgrace. Joe Lazzito sued the police officer, said, how am I a victim when I stopped this guy? And these cops were just watching, sitting there on their hands, not doing anything.
Who was considered the victim?
Joe Lazzito, the guy who took him down, the guy who almost lost his life, the guy who almost bled out because the police officers were waiting to get backup, even though they had him subdued and handcuffed. And Joe Lazzito sued the NYPD saying, you besmirched my name, you lied about me, you didn't help me, you were watching me getting stabbed. And the police officers argued, we have no duty to protect and serve you. And the court in New York upheld that ruling.
Are those officers still on duty?
Yeah, they were promoted by Mayor Michael Bloomberg. So they were seen as heroes by the corporate media.
Right. This is one thing I have to do. I can't speak to that. That sounds like the craziest thing I've ever heard. I've never heard of a case like that. Now, I'll take your word for it. I have to look it up.
No, I did a whole video about this. I'll let you even talk to Joe Lazzito if you want to.
Right. I would have to watch it and go through it before I have never in my life saw a police officer or even heard of a police officer in any of the connective, agencies that we've been a part of, we train with, that will ever use that as a measuring stick of how they enforce law or how they participate in saving and protecting people. And on my department, there was a order that's called cowardice. You cannot show cowardice or you would be fired. It doesn't matter what the Constitution say.
So I'm saying,
if it end up being a constitutional law, maybe they'll determine it.
Have you ever seen someone with, say, an illegal amount of pot and been like, get out of here, kid. I don't care about that.
I've never done that.
But have you seen other cops do
it? I've heard of cops doing that.
I know of cops that do it in Chicago all the time. I also know that when I was arrested, because me and my brother got attacked physically, and I tried calling 911, the guy's attacking us, turned my phone off, and then called the cops on us. And when the cops showed up, I said, we've got evidence they attacked us. I said, I don't care. I can't do a cross complaint. They're not getting arrested. The police have a right to choose what they decide.
Yeah. Personally, in my life.
It's called probable cause. So a police can't, this is the thing, like, if a police officer sees a crime committed, he has to act on that crime. You're sworn to do that, to hold the Constitution in the law.
And the Constitution says you have a right to keep and bear arms.
No, yeah, I understand that.
So they're not doing that.
I agree with what you're saying, but we have laws on the books, like you just explained. A person who is a felon who murdered 20 people or something.
Let me give you a better
somebody
example.
Somebody gets out of prison. No, what I'm saying, a felon gets out of prison, and on his record, he's a prohibited possessor. Yeah. A cop catches him going into a school with a gun in his pocket. They're going to arrest him for being in illegal possession of a firearm.
How about the Jewish schools in New York which have a First Amendment right to practice their religion, and the cops were going and filming them and then finding people and welding
welding the parks closed so the kids couldn't play.
How about when they were going to churches and synagogues and telling people you're not allowed to worship? They are not upholding their oath of the Constitution. Now, I want to make sure there's a distinction here. When we were in the Philly suburbs, our suburb cops were fantastic. We didn't deal with that. Because when you have a smaller department and these cops are members of the community, things seem to work a whole lot better than when you have a large, heavily dense area where the cops don't know you and don't care about you. But every day in New York City, they violate the Constitution outright. There's no question.
I'm not disagreeing with that. But here's the nuance that I see in this, and I think people should think about this for a minute. You know, there's people that actually believe that if you don't put on a mask, that you're killing people. Just imagine if this was the swine flu or Ebola. Would it be out of the ordinary for governors to mandate that there's a curfew if Ebola was out and people were dying in mass amounts because they weren't protecting or because they were crowding in places? I think most people would be like, okay, that makes sense. If the business were shut down and they said you cannot open up a business because Ebola is spreading everywhere, you have to shut this down. If in fact that was the case, many people would not argue the constitutionality of a governor doing that.
But that's a hypothetical.
Hold on.
Think about that for 2 seconds. Yeah. People would willingly be like, you are right, I won't open my business. They don't need a government to tell them to do it when they're watching hemorrhagic fever kill people.
No, but what I'm saying is that the governor has the power to enforce these things or to order these things in an emergency situation, the power that we gave governors to do in an emergency. The difference is I don't believe that this is Ebola. I don't believe we should be doing any of this.
Right.
This is my belief. However, there are people on the spectrum that believe wholeheartedly that if you don't have two of them on your face, that you're going to kill people. And people are dying and overloading the hospitals. And so governors in New York and governors in some of these left-wing areas are enforcing
decrees.
These things.
Not by law, decrees.
And also governors in Arizona and in Florida are not.
I want to mention, just based off what we just went through with getting swatted, and it wasn't the most intense. The SWAT team didn't kick our door in. A bunch of cops just came in. We said no, and they swept the property. I think if more leftists understood what this is like, it would be a very, very, very important thing for them to understand. These cops were not mean to us. They came in. We didn't want them to. We do have fears about people breaking in here, and we do talk to the cops, and we have talked to the cops. We've had issues in the past. We call the cops and talk to them. And so I'm sitting here as like, I don't necessarily trust them to come in here without a warrant. I don't know what they're doing or why. Every lawyer worth their weight will tell you don't talk to cops. But I also appreciate that they just tried to save our lives. Yeah. That someone called them and said, Tim Pool's, house, workspace, people are dead there. And these cops rushed in and said, out of my way, there could be people hurt here. It could have been me. These cops were like, I don't care who you are, what you're saying. For all they know, Antifa or some crackpot, conspiracy person broke in here with their friends, hurt us, and now they're standing there saying, don't worry, officer, everything's fine. You don't need to come in. You have a warrant. And the cops are going to be like, I don't care what you say if we get a report about this. So it's a difficult position, right?
Yeah, and they're willing to die for you. They're not willing to show up here just to do a patty cake with you. They're willing to die, man. Cops are dying every day in situations like this, and they batted an eye. They came up here and they was willing to die for the sake of you and anybody else in this building. And the same people that we are saying in some of these cases you see in New York where they're questionable about their enforcement and some of these laws, they are the same ones that are still out protecting people with their lives every day and getting murdered. So I want us to balance the perspective here. We may disagree, and I think these things will find their way out in court because it's not very clear if this is a violation of the Constitution. So at least the private business is saying you have to show a vaccination card.
Experiencing this, I think, is good for the left and the right. I think a lot of the perspective on policing is that people on the left who are in big cities deal with cops all the time, and people who are in rural areas don't really deal with cops all the time. They might see them in passing, but they probably know the officers. There's very few. So for me, I'm just saying, you know, we have someone mentioned that you're wearing a do not comply shirt, but you're also defending cops.
It's because I'm smart enough to know that there's nuances.
That's exactly
like do not comply with tyranny, but you need to like they're just that's like saying George Floyd. Should George Floyd have complied? I mean, yeah, I think he would have never been under the guy's knee if he would have. Should, you know, any of these people who are running from the police, should they have complied? Yes. Just because I have a do not comply shirt don't mean I'm telling you do not comply with a lawful order.
Right, right.
But people are too ignorant to understand that there's two sides to this.
Some people.
This is why I think not everybody.
This
is the point I'm trying to get across. Like, I'm torn on this one. I'm not left. I'm not right. I'm not anti-cop. I'm not pro-cop. I'm worried the police can use this is a pretext to enter my home without a warrant and mess with me. I'm also worried that we've got very serious security threats. We've got a security system installed. We've had multiple security companies come out. We're in the process of onboarding some security people. And these cops are willing to come in here, rush in to save us. So it's like, it's basically, do you trust them or not? It's a difficult position to be in.
I think it's
right?
fair to say you can trust them because you also got to understand they're only one part of the justice system. They can come in here and if you believe they did something unlawful, there's a process to that. They are not going to convict you in a court of law. The police can't. They can arrest you based on probable cause, but then you have an opportunity to defend yourself in a court of law. Just like if they came in here and they found something illegal. Sure. That's going to be a legal battle in a court of law that I'm sure you can fight that.
Bad news for the conspiracy theorists. It's a very, it might look fun on TV, but it's relatively, we've got like a skee ball machine. We've got cameras.
Yeah.
the room behind us is a bunch of editing desks and like coding and
stuff.
Came
out yesterday. Well, it was silent. I was like, wow.
Yeah, we've got a kitchen. We bake. Nice. It's nothing crazy going on here. But there are conspiracy theorists who say crazy stuff about what happens. And it's funny because people are like, Tim Pool's building a compound. I'm like, we have an office building.
It's a house.
Yeah. There always should be a middle ground. And I do believe trust should be earned. I mean, me and Tim also had very negative experiences with police officers in Chicago that were literally trying to set us up and put a gun to my head because of journalism that we were doing during events that was absolutely not warranted. So there's a number of these events and there's a number of these things. So anytime you have power, you should have some kind of transparency and accountability. And I think you could have a level-headedness when you have that. But I think a lot of people, you know, there's some good officers out there and there's some bad officers out there when they have that power and it's not accounted for and there's nothing holding them responsible for a lot of the kind of egregious actions. That's when a lot of people have a lot of serious questions. Now, again, you shouldn't go overboard and just think that all cops are horrible or all cops are great. I think the middle ground here is important and understanding personal responsibility and understanding you're responsible for yourself is some of the things that I think we should be preaching about and talking about more than ever.
And most cops are good cops. Most cops are good people. The police system in and of itself is reasonable. It's not easy to do the things that people think it's easy to do. Like you say, most people don't interact with cops. It's impossible. If you're in New York, you know how many people live in New York? How many people live in New York? 8 million or
something like that, yeah.
There's one or two cops for every 1,000 person. Mm. The cops are not interacting with everybody. They only really interact with about 20% of the population, and they interact with about 5% of the population all the time. It's the same group of people that are out here doing crime all the time. So most people aren't really interacting with police. And so I just think people are, they may be feeling some type of way. There's an emotional charge to it. I understand that. But we have to, like I said, you have to put it in perspective. The same offices where people are saying, you are enacting tyranny. As they walk away from this call, they are out here protecting and serving with their lives. Yeah. And so you have to understand, they're not just acting in one role. You may disagree with this aspect of it, but you have to understand the whole story. Like, why does the governor have the power to do these things in the first place? How can the governor tell you can shut down your business? I think the cop is like a byproduct. You should be protesting the governor. You should be protesting the mayor. Yeah. The cops are a byproduct of something that's ambiguous.
But the governor wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the cops enforcing these unconstitutional edicts and decrees. And we have to understand
they're getting guidance from the governor.
Exactly. The guidance is not legalese language. I mean, that's the same argument that a lot of Germans were making during World War II, saying, I was just following orders. I was just doing what we're told. And a lot of atrocities. I want to make the historical context to a lot of human atrocities that have happened because people saying, I follow orders. World War II is overused too many times, but when we look at human history, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of death resulted to men saying, you tell me to do it, I'm going to do it without even thinking about it. What I would personally would love to see is a little bit of more discernment, a little bit more upkeeping to the letter of the law, instead of just saying, this guy told me to do it, I'm going to do it, because so many human atrocities have happened, and I think we're very close for them happening now, especially with what's happening in Australia, what's happening in Europe, what's happening in Canada, that could come here if enough officers say, I will follow that order without questioning it.
Okay, look, this is the thing. It's not like the governor says, officer, you go do this. It comes down from the city council, command staff, and guidance that's given to the officers through the lieutenants, the captains, the chiefs, sergeants. These are protocols that are disseminated down through officers. And also, many of these police departments have legal advisors. We were a small police department. We had a legal advisor. They would advise us, what can you do legally? According to the Constitution, according to laws, where the department doesn't get sued. So I think it's a bunch of minutia that comes down through the pipe, and people have power that shouldn't have power in the way they do. And now the police are taking a fall for it.
But they wouldn't have power if police officers weren't doing what they were told to do by them. Right. If they could understand that, if there was a little bit more discernment, if they were like saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't, as Walmart's open and people are giving all of their money to that, maybe we shouldn't, we shouldn't stop by this poor grandma's house and shut down her business in New Jersey. Maybe we just shouldn't do that personally ourselves because of the larger implications here.
So if a person,
and that kind of discernment is all I'm asking for, because it makes more sense than to just follow a decree that hurts everyone overall and destroys people's income and destroys people's livelihoods because they were just following orders.
Right. But you feel that way. But some people don't feel that way. Some people don't feel
like the grandma deserved to have her business shut down.
Some people believe that she does if she's not.
Do you think she does?
I don't think she does.
Okay.
But I think.
But she only does because officers said yes.
No, not the officers. It's because the governor has made an order that is deeming this behavior that is going to cause people to die and contagion from this virus is going to spread everywhere if people don't shut down and quarantine. It's a nuance. Now let me talk about it like this. Some people believe that marijuana should be illegal. Some people believe marijuana should be legal. So do cops use their discretion in that and say, well, I don't think people should go to jail for marijuana, so I'm not going to arrest you for marijuana. But then the cop over here says, I hate marijuana. My kids have gotten into the drug game, and I want marijuana to stop in my community, so I'm going to enforce it. Just like the mandates, there's a wacky cop out here that believe that they need to wear 3 masks, and they believe that everybody's dying, like CNN is saying. Should they over-enforce grandma? And the guys who say, this is not even a real thing, should they not do anything? The point is that cops should follow the letter of the law. And I believe that this is ambiguous, though. I think this is ambiguous. Yeah. I believe that we're going to come to a place where we find out that they should have never done this according to the Constitution.
Just really quick, but we agree.
Got to go to super chats.
But just really quick, we agree. What happened to grandma was wrong. You're saying it's the governor's fault. I'm saying it's the mechanics of the whole worked.
I think she's wrong. Some people think that it's right that they.
Exactly.
But we at least agree
what happened to grandma with the lockdown is absolutely right.
I think it's wrong.
Okay.
I think they should shut down no business.
I want to have a conversation about this, but let's do the member segment where we can get more in depth, and we got to do super chats too. So yeah. I want to make sure we have a ton of super chats now pouring in light of recent events. Mm-hmm. Let me just tell you guys, like, we have a whole bunch of stories. We had Djokovic. The tennis player in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't get to any of it because cops walk in the middle of the show, and then I get up and I'm like running downstairs, what's going on? And so,
it's topical though. Brandon's here with, I know, that was police that was, officer yeah. knowledge.
Well, this led to an interesting conversation and a debate, which I found civil and eye opening for the general public.
I think there's a lot of points I want to make too, but we should get to the super chats because otherwise we'll go, we'll go too long. And some people want to talk about civil asset forfeiture and all that stuff. So we'll have a lot to talk about in that member segment.
Yeah.
But for the time being, smash that like button, subscribe to this channel where the next time we get swatted, we have a room camera that will show you the police walking in. Yeah. I'm actually really surprised. Like, I'm like, I see the cops walking. We're all looking at each other. Luke, you were talking, right?
Yeah, I was talking. I'm like, I looked up.
His eyes got wide.
I thought it was a friend of yours that just came in to say hi. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Is that Posobiec? Who is that?
Yeah,
I was trying to guess who it was. He was a cop. He's like wearing body armor and a uniform.
Yeah, he had a body camera on. And I was like,
what's going going on?
This seems to be a little more than.
I want that body camera footage. Maybe we can put it on the website.
That'd oh, yeah, you should get it. You can forward your request it.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, cool.
Do you think they might just give it to us right away, though?
Let's yeah. do it.
It's not a crime. It's not a crime to commit, so there's no investigation that needs to be. Well, kind of, but it's not like a murder where they have to go through a.
They probably wrote a report, which we need to know all the details about, which we should do that immediately.
You have a right to obtain a 911 call.
So you get like the body footage.
Let's
get the 911 call.
Absolutely. All five of them.
Because we might recognize the voice.
All of them.
Yeah.
Because we might know exactly who did this. So let's make sure we're on that ASAP.
All right. Let's read some super chats. We got Hendrick here. He says, are you aware that the Mexican state of Baja California enacted NYC style proof of jab requirements in order to enter private businesses?
I did not, but that's absolutely ridiculous. The president of Mexico has made very strong statements against the mandates, against the lockdowns, and it looks like some people are acting totally differently on that specific section of Mexico, which is very strange because, again, the president of Mexico made very strong statements against Big Pharma, which I absolutely agreed with, and to see this happening in Mexico is kind of sad.
So a lot of people have super chatted that apparently Tucker Carlson had Ted Cruz on. Did you see this?
I'm seeing, people are chatting that he's getting slam dunked.
And he was like, it was a mistake. I shouldn't have said it was an accident. And Tucker is like, you're a liar.
Wow. Oh, awesome.
And he's even more of a punk.
Yeah, I know, right?
Fess up to it, dude.
Yeah.
You said
Own it.
Fess up to it.
All right. Brent Saigan says, hey, Tim, not sure if you remember, but you helped bully my brother Grant a few months ago into getting an account with Timcast.
Yes.
Anyways, it's my 21st birthday today, so that's fun. Wishing you all the best. Also have Luke say my last name. It's Polish.
What is it? How do you say it?
C-Y-G-A-N.
Most Polish is just like... It's like bees buzzing around, let's be honest with you.
Backwards R.
Yeah.
All right. Some of these, we had one, but I think might be a little too vague.
Happy birthday, man, by the way.
Yes, happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
Shout out to Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Group B says, Ron DeSantis had a press conference today, brought up the fact the media keeps insinuating an insurrection took place, but after 1 year, no one has been charged with insurrection.
That's the scary part. This is the part that I feel like is balancing in that constitutional thing. Why are people still detained if nobody's been charged? How long can you lawfully detain somebody
for
something
forever.
That they haven't? It's like due process. I mean, you would think that you would. Now, I could be wrong because the letter of the law may say something different. And this is a caveat that we are getting exposed to. But you can't detain somebody for a period longer than reasonable before they have due process and have their time in court. But these people, I guess, have been in a hole for a year now.
I'll be honest, I haven't read the National Defense Authorization Act or the Patriot Act in full, but I think that
Different ones.
The impetus is that you're allowed to indefinitely detain someone if they're suspected of terrorism.
There's a provision within that, yeah.
Yeah, but which is a problem because you see Trump came out and he came out against these people in January 6th. All these politicians who are coming out against people in January 6th are responsible and to a certain degree of the reason why these people are still down there being detained when a lot of them didn't even, I mean, I don't think that they did any violence.
There's no evidence. I can't say are they
detaining people who just walked in?
They've been not charged.
Yeah, absolutely.
Walked in.
There are people who engaged in violence.
Arrested,
prosecuted. But a lot of these people were, the doors were open. The cops were taking selfies with them.
Right.
And now they're getting months in jail.
They've been
in jail for some people for solitary for like 8 months. What is it now? It's a year almost.
Yeah. And I think that's why I didn't go down there. I was upset about it, but I didn't go down there because I know what the law is. You can't just storm the Capitol in our country. You just can't.
It's also meaningless. Like, what do they think was going to happen?
Yeah. You're going to storm it and do what?
Yeah. I know. Paint the walls.
Y'all have nothing to do. You're not going to do anything. So what's the point of doing it? I don't think that they should be held in detention, but the law is the law, man. If you want to take it there, you got to take it there and receive the what's going to come after it. Just like Martin Luther King, when they did sit-ins, they got arrested.
I want to argue more because lawful does not mean moral, and a lot of atrocities in this world and throughout history were lawful.
We'll get into that.
But we'll talk about that later.
That's actually a really good point I want to talk about. Yeah. We got to hear from Gunner. He says, I'm Gen Z and my generation is stupid. There are probably other Zoomers here that would agree with me. It's such blatant idiocracy that's becoming more surreal. It's exactly what they wanted. I think Gunner, I think you're right, but it's not as bad as you think. A Pew Research poll found that Gen Z is actually the first generation in 100 years to be slightly more conservative than the previous generation.
What's the age of Gen Z?
What are they like?
Younger than
90? Was it like 95?
Yeah.
Born in 95 and up or something like that. So I'll just say this. So Gen Z actually could be fairly old, like late 20s at this point. millennials are more active online and they're protected online. Woke people. So be it Gen Z or millennials, they're more likely, in my opinion, to be active on the internet, to be protected when they say insane things, and the corporate media protects them and puts out their message. So that's why they try to censor. That's why they try to hide dislike accounts. Yeah. They want you to think you're alone. They want you to think that they're the majority when they are not. Seriously, look up the Pew Research study that talks about the political leanings of generations. And while Gen Z is almost identical to millennials in terms of their political positioning, they're in some areas slightly to the right, like a tiny bit. But that is huge because throughout the past several generations, it always flows left. And the left has been very proud of that. Something changed, and I think it has to do with parenting and child rearing. Conservatives were more likely to have kids in the early 2000s. So that means 22-year-olds today, 21-year-olds, there's going to be more conservatives than liberals because liberals were having 1.5 kids and conservatives were having 2.01 kids. I did this whole thing researching the birthing rates in the year 2000. Good. So there you go. Born in the year 2000, 22 years old today.
Don't say that.
That's crazy.
We are very old people.
Don't
in this
say
room.
That. Like
we're going to be farting dust soon.
Yeah, farting dust, man. All right, let's see. Let's try and grab another good super. We have so many super chats. I'm sorry we can't get to all of them.
Very exciting night.
What's up, guys?
All right. I'm reading this one. Moneybag says, Tim, have you looked into flat or convex Earth? The very thought-provoking. That it'd be awesome to have Eric Dubay or Dave Weiss on Elite Lie. Why not on this? I've certainly read a lot of the flat Earth stuff, and I find it funny. And wow, just I'm sorry, man, the Earth is not flat.
I like Ian. Yeah, Ian, where are you on this? I want to know where Ian stands.
I used
on this
to think
position.
Of Earth as a sphere. Now I think of it more as kind of an amorphous bubble that's kind of changing shape, like the sun. If you look at it with a telescope, it's kind of bubulous. That I like this convex Earth. That it's like a discus that's kind of pulsing ovular.
The convex Earth theory is that the Earth is a bowl.
I don't go that far. I don't think there's any flat. I think that comes from ancient history, like ancient stories, and now people are kind of getting a jive out of bringing it back up again.
And I got to stop you on the sphere thing. The reason I find this so ridiculous is that we've known this for millennia. The Earth is on the back of a giant turtle drifting through space.
With elephants.
Obviously. Yeah. Duh.
Yeah, the Earth is like a little wart on some other
I watched one guy who said, like, he went on a plane with a leveler, and then he was like, if the Earth is round, then the plane should dip down to go with the curvature, which means the leveler will change. And then he, like, time-lapses it. He's like, see, it didn't. And it's just like, oh Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know if the plane would do that. It would just stay, it just coast around like this. But
he thought that the plane would go to the edge of the Earth and then have to turn down, have to, like, actually go down because gravity doesn't work for some reason.
Some guy said that the world, you know, like, if the Earth stopped, people will continue to fly at like thousands of miles per hour.
I'm going to have dreams about
a couple hundred miles per hour.
You guys talking about this tonight, by the way.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, I wonder what's the obsession with flat Earth? Like, I mean, I don't get it. Like, who cares?
I think it's another form of psychosis. Like,
what does it matter?
It's interesting to talk about anything, but that people are like latching onto weird, weird stuff like that. Like, that's a weird one. Talk about 9/11. Cool. Let's talk about facts, but that's like, I don't know. I've never seen any evidence for it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's read some more. We got Raisin. He says, get badge numbers, file a police report, reach out, tell me how to reach out to y'all in my InfoSec company, help you find who made that call. Cheers. And thank God y'all are okay. Yeah. My phone's been blown up. I tweeted out as soon as it happened.
Yeah.
A lot of people were watching when it happened and, you know, everybody's fine. It wasn't the apocalypse. Often is like they're in suits and they've got rifles and they're like, everybody on the ground.
Yeah. Police departments have grown from that. When I was a police officer, we went through training about SWATting.
We're also in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So they're probably like,
they don't probably have a SWAT team around here.
Yeah.
They don't.
But not only that, they're probably thinking if some dude's in his shack and did do this, like,
we have time.
Yeah, we have time. There's nobody around. You know, sometimes I wake up in the morning, I hear gunshots going off, and I'm just like sipping my coffee, and I'm like,
yeah.
Like the neighbors shooting again.
It's not Chicago.
Yeah, I know.
It's
well, hold on.
You do hear gunshots in Chicago.
No, hold on. In Chicago, when I'm growing up and a kid, and I hear gunshots, and I'm sitting there sipping my coffee, I'm like, oh, the gangs are shooting each other again.
And then a bullet come through your coffee mug,
it shatters, and you're like, eh, I got a new mug. But for different reasons, we don't care. Yeah, sometimes we hear like it sounds almost like full auto because so many people are shooting.
Oh yeah,
bah, 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 bah. Bangs in the distance and the birds fly away.
It's the sound of freedom, man.
But that's why I think the cops are probably like, something did happen.
Yeah, you know, they didn't seem too.
He's not going anywhere.
They didn't seem too intense when they came in here. They were kind of like lost a little bit. I'm well, pretty sure they were lost. They didn't know where they were at.
The one cop like fanned me over, and I was just like, no. I was like, we got cameras on and live, and I'm like, this is the worst possible time to do something like this. Yeah. But I had no idea what it was about.
Yeah.
You know, I knew it was right away. I knew you didn't know him, I said, somebody must have swatted us.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Luckily, I got a message that everything was fine as soon as everything was going down. So,
well, when I talked to the crew, everybody did everything right, so I'm really proud of the team. True. But people need to understand, I tweeted this. This is like an office, so there's like, a dozen employees here right now?
Yeah.
It's not a house. Yeah. See, it is a house, but like when you walk in, you're like, oh, it's an office. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can clearly see that this is what you do here.
But so, if this was like a small house, if this is the crazy thing, like imagine the Daily Wire got swatted, like they show up to this big building, they're going to be like knocking the door and there's a receptionist and you're like, we have a receptionist too. So I'm sure they show up and they're just like, there's all these employees all over the place. There's the work going on. As soon as they saw that, they're probably like, okay.
Yeah. Normally what they would do is they would call if it's during the daytime, the dispatcher will call the number for Daily Wire and say, are you guys experiencing an emergency there? And then they'll be done with it.
Good. All right. Luke's mom says, Tim, you may be getting bracketed. You may want to set up security while streaming. Those who may want to do harm are watching you right now. Give less specifics. No, I understand all that. And I will tell you guys this. I don't mention this very often, but we're armed.
Of course we are.
You know, and so people have mentioned that on the show, like, without getting into too much detail, when we've had other contentious guests, I've seen comments where they're like, yo, Tim's strapped. Like, you guys know this, right? Yeah, we're in the middle of nowhere. And I talk about how the fact, like, we're like crazy 2A people, but we're also very, very safe with firearms. So it's like, not like we just have guns lying around or anything crazy like that, but we're armed and we're prepared, especially considering the amount of crazy people who threaten us and harass us and the death threats and all that stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why I said, I was like, we were very lucky nothing happened and everything was calm and the officer was calm and no one got hurt because, again, the SWATs are horrible and they do injure and kill a lot of people accidentally.
So our front door, it's not like a house door closed and like bolted locked. You can walk up and there's like a clear glass door, like an office, like it's a screen door. But like when we have, I guess what I'm trying to say is when you have like an office building and you can see through the door and everything, it's very similar. You walk up, you can see through the window, you can see there's a desk with the receptionist and there's a computer. So they're not walking into some crazy, they're not kicking any doors in.
If we were the only people in here, that would have been a big problem. Because just to say I went downstairs, I just run downstairs to grab something. And they come in the house and boom, 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 boom. And I'm coming down the stairs and I don't know they're there. Yeah, and they don't know who I am. I'm dressed in all black. Mm. They may get spooked and shoot me.
That's funny because before they came in here, I was about to run to the bathroom, like run fast downstairs. I could just run by.
And he was going to encounter all other people first.
And the crazy thing is often when Ian runs to the bathroom, he grabs the master sword from Zelda and swings it wildly.
Everyone out of my way.
And screams.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Dragon Lady says, man, what could have happened if the cops had walked in when you were showing your freaking antique non-working gun to someone? Bad-ish could go down. Yeah.
It could. I could very well see a cop just getting spooked, man. Just open a door and you got a gun and I can see it happening.
Even if they know, like, you know, what the show is, especially if they know that we live and work here, because then they're going to be like, oh man, you know, we know. Like Tim Pool is obviously a guy's probably going to get targeted. There's a good chance there's a threat here. You know what I mean?
We got to FOIA everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, easy. That's that. Easy. That's easy. Did you get the badge numbers from down
there? No, but they may have.
Yeah.
I'm trying to like run down.
Right. They seem like, you know, it's probably a very small little agency around this area.
And I've talked to them before.
Yeah, it'd be fine. You have the right to FOIA all that stuff. And it would be good to get to meet the person who runs the district here, the sergeant,
that's
lieutenant,
good idea.
Just get in contact with them because you may need them at some point more so than calling 911. You may contact them directly.
Right. And we've actually talked with security companies and stuff like that. So, Laughing Dog says, how you like world government now, Tim? Fun stuff, eh? Yeah. Fun stuff. I mean, you've got on the one side, like we've already said now three times, if someone really was hurt here, these guys come running in full speed to make sure we're okay.
Well, you know,
I can respect that.
The one time that you may not want to share with other people, but you would want to find out is how long did it take them to get here after the 911 call happened?
Yeah.
I got to
be
honest. I bet it took a long time.
Well, who knows? You know?
I mean, look, I say it over and over again. We're in the middle of nowhere. and were armed. So I'm willing to bet that it took them a while. Probably not as long as when I was in Miami or anything like that. But
they're probably going fast, though. Yeah. You know, I know. I used to go fast.
We're in the middle of nowhere, though.
I know. But they may be roaming around in the middle of nowhere. You
I
know?
Mean, this certainly took over the show.
Multiple cars. Obviously, five people wouldn't have come in one car. So yeah, they brought
multiple cars.
They come from very different directions, too.
Ponton says, you can get a direct line from the cops to a phone that glows red when it rings and sits right in front of you during the show. Can we make Freedom Day about taking back the narrative, too? Procedure, what it is. Temporary symptom reducer.
I'm very into the public interacting with the police, like private company. Maybe not, but I want to somehow help the police force with private enterprise without like creating a private police force. Just make the environment easier and better for them to work somehow. I like to do it when I drive. I'm always being as safe as I can, as if I'm a cop, like making sure everyone's okay so that they don't have to. So yeah. Somehow do that with our organization. That'd be cool.
Triumph says, man, when I hear and listen to The Rock in a Hard Place these cops are put in, I'm super happy I'm a garbage man. Holy crap. And I can respect that. That's why I've never been like, all cops are bad, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, they're human beings, man.
It's hard, man. It's hard, dude. It's hard to think about, okay, if I do this, I'm going to lose my pension. Some of these officers, I don't know, those guys look kind of young, but you got a guy with 25 years on, 28 years on, and he want to be a hero today and lose his whole pension. You know, you got to think, man, the sacrifice the cops make for 28 years, putting your family through all that, they don't know if you're going to live or die every day. When I was working, I didn't know if I was going to die every day. Every day. It's like, okay, I made it today, made it today, made it today. I didn't die today. I mean, you don't know. Any day you could be dead over anything. I mean, a traffic violation or somebody could run a red light and hit you.
When you retired, did you miss the exhilaration of that?
Yeah, because the adrenaline rush every day is out of control. So you can't replicate that. You know, when you're on duty, man, your adrenaline is. Because you get a call like this. Two people shot and murdered or something. One guy's on the phone. They can hear people screaming in the background. Like, dude, you feel something in you that cannot be replicated.
We got Psycho. He says, leftists on the surfs on Twitch told me you guys are dangerous personalities. Hmm. I mean, I don't know who those guys are. So
if you mean like stunningly attractively dangerous.
Yeah.
That's what I'm coming up
with. Like dangerous in the sense that if you're a tyrant or a fascist, you better watch out. Because we'll expose you.
These people are nuts. We're just having a basic conversation. Well, how is this dangerous? Won't they have a conversation?
Well, see, if you are part of the cult, we are very dangerous. Oh. We had Marjorie Taylor Greene on the show. Oh. And you know what people said? We had a ton of super chats where people were like, I thought she was crazy until I heard her talk about, you know, what she thinks crazy. And what she does. Same thing with Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
That's why they view us as dangerous, because the lies and the smears that keep people in the cult, we break.
You're right. They probably think you say stuff on here and think you're crazy. I mean, that's always how it is. When people talk to me or when I see people in person or I'm at an event live and people question me that are dissenters or whatever, they always leave like, I like you, man. You cool. Yeah. I didn't know you were
I watched the surfs before. They're pretty cool. So I bet that's kind of out of context.
No, they rag on us often.
But I don't watch their show. Kind of rag. I watch it a couple. It seemed like there's like, they love ragging on us.
All right. Sure. Whatever. When I say I don't know them, I'm not familiar with what their show format is or who they are as people or their names or anything like that. I just know that we get those kind of comments.
A couple of dudes, I think. Two dudes.
They just want to sleep with you. That's what it is.
They're just trying to date me, man. Take it to the top. All right, you guys. The Life of D says, ironically, you had Marjorie Taylor Greene on yesterday. Today you're getting swatted. I'm just pointing out events in order, not drawing conclusions. The real question is, what did she tell you about Hillary?
Gotta watch the after show.
Not enough.
Not enough. That was a good one. All right, let's grab some more super chats. Waffle Sensei says, Brandon, you said if a cop sees someone kill a pedo, do they get to choose whether to arrest that person? Yeah. Rittenhouse shot a pedo and he wasn't arrested. The cops have the discretion.
No, that's not true. You got to develop probable cause. So because Kyle Rittenhouse, they didn't really have all the context of what actually happened. They know people were shot. He came over to the police. I don't think they knew who was wrong or not.
I don't think they even knew someone got shot at that point.
And they don't know the guy's a pedo anyway. They just, they hear shots. People are down. They don't know who shot who. They don't know if it's a self-defense or not. And so it wasn't a discretionary decision. They didn't have probable cause to arrest him, which you can't arrest anybody unless you have probable cause. And if you arrest them without probable cause, all of that evidence goes away. Mm. And you are probably going to get fired. Mm. And there'll be a cop again, deservingly so.
Just Jimmy says FOIA request info about officers that came and any info you can get about call. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then we'll publish
it.
Yeah, we will.
Especially the phone call. I want to listen to that voice because who knows? Maybe we know who it is. Like, I had crazy things throughout my career where people called me like 1 o'clock in the morning and I remember recording them. And then I remember that person who was harassing me over the years, calling my family, getting these numbers, was actually a part of my organization in New York City. And I had the recording and I played it back right in front of this person who was infiltrating my organization and just harassing me. And that was a huge wake up call. So there's a lot of weird people out there. There's a lot of crazy people out there. So just having this information is key.
And make sure if you go to FOIA request and they say it's under investigation, they can't release it. Maybe you can go down and view it. They may let you actually view or listen to the phone call without taking possession of it.
You know what else I should do? You know what? I'm not going to say it.
Don't say it.
Security.
Secret.
Secrets. Yeah.
Perfect.
We'll keep that. Our security plan's a secret. So what I was going to say is Macaulay Culkin style booby traps.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
hang some paint cans from the top of the stairs.
Yes.
No, but you're not. It's actually illegal.
What's a booby trap?
Yeah, it's illegal to booby trap stuff. But like, you know, then
the cops come in and burn it. You remember? I just remember that scene. I think that flamethrower or something blew his. And he had a beanie
It just that was in part two.
It was in part two. I freaking love that movie. It was so fun. When I was a kid, dude, I used to just watch it.
Great stuff.
Yeah, we watched part two every over day. Christmas. You have to, man. All right. JJG says, Tim, why go to New Jersey? You can't bear arms. Why go to New Jersey? You can't bear arms in Maryland. MD police will arrest you for having a firearm on you, which is why I'm for Dems wanting to disarm police. If I can't, they can't. Same with self-defense. Well, we're actually setting up the new Freedomistan in West Virginia. The contracts are in. The deposits are in. Construction is beginning soon. And I think maybe in 6 months, we will have the fully operational new facility. But that will just be the studio. And then we have to actually build out the rest of the open space. It's going to be amazing. I can't believe that we're getting this done. It's going to be absolutely incredible.
I'm not for disarming police, by the way.
I'm for disarming some police.
I don't think never. Why?
I think if we had some cops who weren't armed for certain jobs, we'd have more versatility.
But like what job would you not need to be armed as a police officer?
Well, so like, it depends on the call, I suppose. If there's like, what's a good example?
A barking dog.
Well, I don't know about a dog because dogs can be dangerous.
No, just a barking dog. You don't have to deal with it. It's a civil complaint.
Right.
Of a person saying the dogs are too loud.
I'm thinking like businesses. You know, someone's complaining. Noise complaints. You know.
But see, let me just give you an example. Barking dog call. That's why I was going to set you up a little bit. So, but the barking dog call that just happened not too long ago. They went to an apartment complex and the police officers got ambushed and one got murdered while she was begging for her life with her own gun.
I saw that.
And it was a barking dog call. So it's like you never know like what's what.
But that's why I'm like, you know, I think there are circumstances in which we can have officers who don't need to be armed. I'll put it that way.
I think they should be armed. They just need to be proficient. I was armed and I never shot anybody. I was on a SWAT team, never shot anybody. You don't have to shoot people. But
I'll take this back. I think everybody should be armed.
Well, here's a perfect segue into, and I know you got the super chats, but you know, one of the things that I'm into now is that I'm an advisor with a company called Quest Microsystems, and we've developed a non-lethal weapon that you can use in law enforcement and in personal defense. But this is a thing that's important for our society because I would love for a police officer to have a gun and have another qualified weapon that they can use when they get to a call and it's like a man who's loony, but he didn't have a weapon.
What's non-lethal or less lethal and can we test it out?
Yes. SHOT Show. You're going to SHOT Show in Vegas. We'll have them available.
We can
test them out. They're non-lethal.
We'll do a couple more and then we're going to head over to that member segment. We've got a couple different super chats that said that we got insurrected by the cops on January 6th and that January 6th will forever be the day that Tim Castirel was swatted and that's what we're going to remember.
Is that why somebody did that?
I don't know.
It was like the anniversary.
I got to be honest.
The podcast?
I think it might be Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, because she was on here?
Yeah.
Or maybe they hate me because I'm a former
police
officer.
I don't think it's you.
No, they know. They know better.
I think maybe they wanted just to see it happen. You know, that's one of the reasons they do it because it's a live show.
Well, with the possibility of someone getting seriously hurt here, I don't think it was anything but to try to cause malicious harm. That's my perspective.
So, you know, when you have someone like MTG on, you generate a lot of attention. Obviously, the establishment really despises her. The activists really hate her. I don't think she had anything to do with it in that regard.
Right.
I think it just put us on the radar for a lot of
people. That's what I agree with. Because I'll say they would have done it on a day she was here. That would have made more sense. But also, some wacko saw her on here and now is aware of it. But
exactly. Now is aware of the show.
They don't understand the seriousness or the severity of swatting. I think some people think, it'd be funny to interrupt the show. Mm-hmm. They don't think about that it's a felony. Mm-hmm. And some kid got like 20 years in prison for swatting.
People get shot and killed.
Barreling through the house full speed past cops and not knowing why they're there and yelling at me to the bathroom. That could have happened 20 yeah. an
let's,
hour ago.
We have a lot to talk about in yeah. regards to, especially that other swatting too. So let's do that over on the members segment. We'll get in depth on policing, debate, the morality, authoritarianism, libertarianism, etc. So smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. What time did it happen? It was
8:51-ish. Yeah. So it's
possible.
It's possible that it took them like an hour to get here. And maybe they called it right when the show started.
Oh, no way it took an hour.
But I was like, that's a weird time.
So unless they're getting all the five officers together in the different area.
When I was saying a long time, I was thinking like 8-10 minutes.
Yeah, but then I was looking at the time. I was like, I wonder when this was called.
Because I know where they are.
They're nearby.
And I know how fast they can go. But because we're in a rural area, If they had the lights on and were speeding, I'm thinking like 8-10 minutes.
Response time is about 15 minutes to a
situation.
Yep.
In rural areas. Now, I don't know how rural this is compared to places in Texas grew up in Texas.
Average response time is 10 minutes according to a U.S. study released in 2017.
But in here in this area? Let's.
Yeah. All right.
We'll do the member segment. We'll get into the cop stuff.
For sure.
So smash that like button, subscribe to the show, share the show with your friends. You can follow the show, Timcast IRL, basically everywhere. Follow us on Instagram. You can follow me at Timcast on Instagram where I post, whatever. I post weird garbage, so follow it if you like it. You want to shout anything out, Brandon?
No, just book. Black and Blue. Being a black cop in America on the Seas, very proud of the book, doing very well. It'll give you insight into law enforcement and also the Quest Microsystems that I'm a part of, investor. I'm an advisor with them. It's a publicly traded company, and it's going to take over the landscape of non-lethal weapons in law enforcement and personal defense.
Cool. So,
where can people find you if they want to contact you?
They can find me at TheOfficerTatum.com.
Cool.
TheOfficerTatum.com.
So I have my own media organization and YouTube channel on We Are Change. I did a full video on exactly what I was talking about when the police officers came in, the history of pandemics and civil unrest. Check out that video if you haven't yet. I also released another video on LukeUncensored.com about the Great Reset. Hope to see some of you guys there. I'm working my butt off and, we're really in a key, crucial, critical time where we got to do as much work as we can before it's too late. So I want to thank everyone a part of this mission and getting the message out there. Our work, I think, is more important than ever. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Luke. Hey, you guys, check me out at iancrossland.net. Thanks for coming. I love you. And be good to yourself and your friends.
Thank you guys all very much for tuning in for this extra exciting episode of Timcast IRL. This is the kind of high quality content you can expect from this podcast. I'm just kidding. You don't get this kind of stuff on Rogan though. I'm just saying. Anyway, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Sarah Patchlitz.
Thanks for hanging out, everybody. We will see you all over at timcast.com in our member segment where we're going to talk about cops and stuff. We'll see you there.
Bye guys.